Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Turn your lights down, way down low. So turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just what that do. Steve and Johnny.
Hey, everybody, we ready for a Lollapalooza of a weekend,
Woo-hoo,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's already Saturday.
Okay. Well, there's one more day. So to celebrate Lollapalooza, my child bride has been walking around barefoot.
Yes, a little dirt in my toes. Well, I did shower today, so. Hey, I'm raring to go. That shower woke me up. I was kind of walking around in a stupor. This heat is like,
yeah.
Oh, man. I worked in the garden for a little bit. I came in. I could wring my clothes out. It was just so hot and humid. I'm
but
not telling you guys anything.
You did have fun earlier this week. You took our grandson, Joseph, over to the Foster Avenue Beach.
What a treat. All right. Bob Fukuda's in studio.
Yes, ma'am.
Keeper of the big plug. What was the last time you were at the beach? I know.
Years. Yeah.
I think it's been like 4 decades for me. It may be 5 because we've been married for 4 decades.
Yep.
And that's, I lived where in Andersonville where I would walk straight down Foster and this was my beach.
Mine was Rainbow Beach.
Yours was
on
Rainbow.
The south side.
Yeah. I did miss when we walked along the rocks, how we used to have the rocks covered with graffiti, which was good graffiti because it was he loves her and she loves him. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff went back to the 40s, and that was kind of cool. And I was telling Joseph all about that. But let me tell you guys, the water was 74 degrees. It was crystal clear. We walked up out into the water practically up to our waist, and you could see your feet. It was so clear. It was like what we experience in the panhandle.
Yeah.
On the sugar sand beaches where you, you're in the water and you can see the shark when it's coming for you.
Yeah.
You know, so you know to run.
Eel or, yeah.
Yeah. So you, or you know to run. If that's a manatee or is that just a blob floating toward me? Yeah, it was delightful. And I told you, it hit me the next day. One of the things that impressed me so much about the beach was the fact, and there was a good crowd there, but it wasn't too crowded. In fact, I put up a picture because I was so impressed. I said it was like having a wave machine because it was just the waves in and out. And then it dawned on me, no one was playing music. No radios were playing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no loud sounds. It was so quiet and peaceful.
And as a music lover, I enjoy just listening to the ambient sounds of wherever it is I'm at.
And I want to listen to my music, so oftentimes somebody's exposing you to their music, and it's way too loud even for them. But this was just such a nice treat, and a guy was, he had a grill there, and he was doing shish kebab, and the guy on the bicycle with a little ice cream machine, you know, that was the only thing we heard was the occasional music from his bicycle ice cream machine.
Ron, when's the last time you went to the beach?
You know, I'm thinking it's probably about 5 years or so. It's not been that long ago.
Okay, and, which beach is your beach?
It used to be Foster Avenue Beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Parking was great.
Yeah.
We could have gone a few miles to the north, and as I understand it, we could have paid for parking and $12 a person to go out on the beach.
Up in the evil empire of Evanston.
Which is a lovely place. But I looked and I said, you got to be kidding. They don't even have senior rates and kid rates. If I'm wrong, folks, enlighten me, because I did the research. It would have been just as easy for us to go a few miles to the north as it was to go a few miles to the south.
Julian, when's the last time you went to the beach?
Last year, I believe.
Which beach?
I want to say it was Ohio? What's the one right by Navy Pier?
Oh, all the way down here. So Grand Avenue.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But Grand Avenue, or were you North Avenue? Or
it's been so long, I don't even remember.
Well, when I grew up in Chicago, North Avenue was our beach, because the bridge, every Saturday night when we drive into work, that bridge always brings back memories to me, because I can remember a storm. We're all old enough to know what a sesh is, right?
Yep.
Because I was
Julian,
on.
Julian, do you know what a sesh is?
Right over my head.
Okay. It's a weather phenomenon that's absolutely terrifying. It's something in horror movies.
Literally. Okay. Now,
it's like the lake is a bowl.
In fact, we're going to have one of our friends, Chris Smith, meteorologist from the Panhandle, on in a couple minutes. But I think the correct description is, it's almost as if the water, if you can imagine the water table tips one way, and then as it tips back, it causes this huge wave that the last time I remember, it came up over Lakeshore, or over parts of Lakeshore Drive.
I'm telling you, as an 8-year-old child that was on the beach and people started screaming and we ran across that North Avenue Bridge and we looked back, it was something out of a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It was so terrifying. And I remember Skilling explaining to us, imagine that Lake Michigan is a bowl and it gets tilted.
Exactly.
And
it
when
just
it
tips
tilts,
to one side and then it tips back and the water is...
Yeah, that wave is humongous. So I made the mistake of explaining that to Joseph. Yes, I was here when this killer wave came up, and he looked at me wide-eyed, like, well, is that going to happen?
And am I wrong, or was there, back in the day, when you and I were first dating and working at another radio station, wasn't there a sesh? Well, this would have been the early 80s.
I think there was, because
there was some kind of a sesh warning.
Yes, yes, there was a warning. You're right. So my experience would have been in the early 60s, because we lived in Old Town at that time. So North Avenue was our beach, and it was not uncommon, because we did not have air conditioning.
Nor did we.
We would just take a blanket down to the beach and throw it on the grass, and we would sleep, because it would be too hot. And so the Putman caravan would just walk over the North Avenue Bridge, throw down a blanket, and just try to get some sleep. A listener just said Seiche, and spelled it correctly, too, S-E-I-C-H-E.
Right.
Covered Lakeshore Drive. And that was my recollection.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying. Well, I just took a happy moment and flipped it on you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But speaking of waves, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Chris Smith from WJHG in Panama City Beach, Florida. They are expecting, and I don't know where this term came from. Now they're saying it's a tropical storm, but initially they were saying a tropical wave.
Remember one day last week I said to you, have you heard about the wave coming to Florida? And you said, the what? And I said, I know. I've never in all the...
And I think of Paul Harvey doing commercials for the Wave Radio.
The boats.
But that's... Shows where my mind goes.
I've never heard, and Bob, you said, like us, you'd never heard
that. Never heard that.
The weather phenomena of a wave. And they were talking about a wave coming up over Florida. And I'm like, okay, that's a big honking wave. I just edited myself.
Okay. Well, while you continue editing, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll wave at you some more.
The stars above don't fight me. The fundamental loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and you're wondering what this has to do with anything. This is one of my favorite Frank Sinatra songs. It's called Wave. It's just a really, really works better when you're
Hey, son. Hey, did you choose that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Yep.
Yeah. He's sneaky.
Yeah. He is kind of sneaky.
Felt like I was on a beach with that one.
And one of the best versions of that is, and maybe we'll dig it up later tonight, Sinatra and Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Who? I'm sorry. It that low note that Sinatra hits with headphones on, I go, whoa, that was impressive.
Jobim, an incredible guitarist, singer.
Jobim?
J-O-B-I-M.
Mm-hmm. Jobim.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like a yogurt. Well, doesn't it sound like... It's a... Oh, no, that's Chobani. Sorry. Never mind.
That's why we have super chicken.
Hey, stop it. Never mind. Hey, we got a big show coming up tonight. Was that during Sinatra's Bossa Nova phase? A listener wants to know. 312.
Could have been. There's also a wonderful live version of... Sinatra and Jobim doing it on a TV show. I think it was Sinatra, the Man and His Music.
Mm.
If you can't tell, I'm a huge Frank Sinatra fan.
I thought.
In fact, one of the things I regret, Johnny's mom and I always wanted to go to see Sinatra. We never did. I've been fortunate to see Elvis. I've seen the Beatles. Mm-hmm. I've seen the Stones. I've seen Michael Jackson. I introduced Michael Jackson, but I've never got to see Sinatra in concert, and I would love that.
Thanks,
the closest I ever came was years ago when I was living in Calumet City, and River Oaks, back when it was a thriving mall, they had an outdoor summer concert, and Frank Sinatra Jr. was there. Big orchestra, doing some of his dad's stuff, and it was a wonderful concert.
Huh. At the River Oaks Mall.
Yeah.
It's sad when you drive. But most malls are sad when you drive by them now.
I think one of the only places that is still there that was there back in the day is JCPenney's.
Yeah. Every time we drive by, we say, are there any cars outside? And sure enough, there are cars outside. Speaking of music, Bob, as you were driving in tonight, did you encounter a lot of Lollapalooza traffic?
Not Lollapalooza traffic. Whatever was going on at Soldier Field was letting out at the time I was coming in. So they were just stopping traffic, letting people out of the Soldier
Field. So what was going on at Soldier Field tonight?
I don't know.
Soccer, maybe?
And I usually do a rundown of what's happening around us so I can be on top of it. But I don't know that someone will know.
You just put a jingle in my head.
What's that?
Starbeat presents What's Happening.
Didn't we interview the guy that did the voice?
Oh, and I'm trying to think. What was his name?
He had that gig forever.
He did.
And for people who don't know, I mean, you could actually, you could call a number and find out what was happening.
Yeah.
The Starbeat dictaphone.
That's right. Oh, that's a word that someone was looking for the other day. They wanted to know of this machine, and this was on Facebook, and everybody was guessing. I said, you mean a mimeograph machine? No, it's not a mimeograph machine. Every possible thing, that no one ever came up with dictaphone, and that was the answer to her question. I'm sure it was. So thank you, Bob. You can go home now.
your work here is done.
That's all right.
We should mention we do have a bunch of things coming up tonight. In a little bit, we're going to talk with, as we said, Chris Smith, our friend meteorologist from WJHG-TV in Panama City Beach, about Tropical Storm Debbie.
Yep.
That is probably going to become a hurricane by the time she lands on the panhandle.
So. And they're saying the Big Bend of Florida, which is the panhandle, which is our house. So,
yep.
partly personal, but you know what? It's going to affect a whole lot of people if it does what they think it might do.
Also coming up tonight, our friend Jessica Radloff, who is the senior West Coast editor for Glamour magazine, New York Times bestselling author of The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story. We're going to talk to her about August TV. And also this, she went looking for love.
Mm-hmm. And to New Zealand.
To New Zealand. So we're going to talk about that.
Actually, it's a special she did on The Bachelorette.
And then a little later, Patrick Crispin will join us. We're going to talk about computer technology, some things you should download to your browsers. I just did it earlier, and I am very impressed.
Hmm.
It's called a uBlock Origin.
Okay.
And so far, I'm impressed with what it's doing. And Will Byington, rock star photographer to the rock stars, is going to join us tonight and tell you how to take some really good pictures, whether it's Lollapalooza or whether you're hanging out in your backyard.
Right.
So that's just some of what's coming up tonight.
847 area code says the dude that I was trying to think of is Steve Cronin.
Yes.
Here's where it gets weird. Our listener just got off the phone with him.
No.
Yes. I'm like, woo, that's really Ouija-weegee. Because he said Steve Cronin, followed by just got off the phone with him.
We should talk to him.
Yeah.
Just for the...
So 847, call him back and tell him we'd like to talk to him some night. I'd like to find out what he's up to.
Yeah. Not necessarily tonight because we're pretty well booked up. But yeah, we'd like to... That'd be fun.
Nelson Riddle and Sinatra were a fabulous match. That was mid-60s special that I loved and watched. That was the one you were talking about.
Riddle was my favorite arranger for Sinatra.
Saw Sinatra at Chicago Fest in 82 and again in 95. You know, I actually think I saw Frank Sinatra at Chicago Fest. This texter from 872 area code.
You don't remember if you saw Frank Sinatra?
I was young. It was Chicago Fest.
What were you smoking then? How can you not remember if you saw Frank Sinatra? Excuse me?
I honestly think I was there.
You didn't tell me this before we got married. This was not
disclosed.
Oh, it
was great. I remember it was fabulous.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
After 40 years, I finally...
This was not on your resume.
No. In all these years, I've said, I don't want to see Frank Sinatra. Literally, that text made me realize, doggone it, I was there in 82.
You need to update your resume.
I'll work on it. Okay, check with me next week.
By the way, you can get to us anytime you want to, 312-981-7200 for texts, phone calls, or bribes, whatever.
608 area code says, oh my gosh, thank you for playing Wave. It reminded me how much I enjoyed Sinatra's samba songs in summer. You may have introduced many other listeners to this great music for a balmy night. Very nice. Thank you, 608. Appreciate that. By the way, you guys can get to us all throughout the night at 312-981-7200.
I think I heard somebody say that.
What?
I think I heard somebody say that.
Well, I don't listen to him, so. It goes in one ear and out the other. Whoever he is. Obviously, I don't hang on to every word he says.
Those of you who have been hanging out with us for more than a minute know that when we're not in Chicago, we spend our time down in Panama City Beach, Florida, and we've been paying close attention to some weather developments down in the Panhandle this weekend.
And they have changed, and it looks like all eyes are going to be on Florida. We thought we could spend a few minutes with the chief meteorologist at WJHG-TV. He's been there for 15 years. He's seen a lot. I got to find out if this is one of the first kind of things. We talked about it being called a tropical wave. Chris Smith joins us right now. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are y'all doing?
Good. Could we start with the business of this weather thing, this storm being called a wave for a couple of days until late this afternoon when it's now officially a tropical storm?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this for more than a week when it was almost just a swirl in the Atlantic that hardly had any clouds with it. And here we are finally with something that is that's developed. Last night became a depression, and then today it became a tropical storm. Its name is Debbie, and it's moving through the southeastern Gulf of Mexico, and it's going to kind of follow a path that looks a little like Idalia, if you remember that hurricane from last year, where it's gone kind of come up there into this big catcher's mitt called Appalachian Bay. And the good news is your house will be fine. As a matter of fact, you may not even see a drop of rain in Panama City Beach.
You're kidding.
No. Yeah, so we'll be on the western side of the storm. And, you know, I think the vast majority of my viewing area, with the exception of like 2 to 3 counties, Liberty, Franklin, and Gulf counties, will have basically no issues at all.
Wow.
And, you know, so right now it looks like it could get close to, if you know where like Apalachicola
sure.
is,
mm-hmm.
St. Mark's, which is kind of up in the top middle of that catcher's mitt that we all call the Big Bend. And up in there is, you know, that's going to have some problems with it because that's one of the most storm surge prone areas in the world. Because it's just a catcher's mitt. So there's nowhere for the water to go when the water comes out of those rivers and then you pile it up in there. There's just nowhere for it. It's like just like a perfect catcher's mitt for the storm and the storm surge. And so, you know, it's not very populated up there, but still nonetheless, it's going to cause some big problems as we move into late Sunday night, but especially into Monday morning there. So for my area, it's basically Franklin County, which is like where Apalachicola is. And then as you move around into Wakulla County, and then you get south of Tallahassee over there, and then you're around what they call the Nature Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at one of the maps you put up, Chris, and as a lot of storms do, I see that as it will come into Florida, then it will kind of go across Florida, and it could have some serious impacts on the East Coast, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing that you don't want people to lose sight of, is that, you know, the impacts, like kind of where we are, and even into down towards Apalachicola, will probably be minimal compared to what they could see over towards Savannah and Charleston and places like that, because it's basically going to stall out and get left behind. So it's being pulled up by a trough of low pressure that's swinging through the eastern United States. And so that's what's pulling it up now, but it's going to get left behind. And so it's just going to kind of meander around for a few days. And so you have the potential up into the Carolinas for South Carolina in particular. Georgia could see, you know, 8, 10, 12 inches of rainfall for places there until finally another trough will eventually get it out of there. But not going anywhere anytime soon. As a matter of fact, even through next Thursday, it's still going to be a tropical storm hanging out near South Carolina.
Just a few minutes ago, I checked to see what speed Tropical Storm Debbie was moving at, and I think I saw 14 miles an hour, which is really like it's crawling along. And the Gulf is so warm. We were there just a couple of weeks ago, and I think there was a day when the temperature was like 87 degrees, the water temperature was. Isn't that a perfect combination? You've got this storm, you've got this warm water, and it's quite possible it will make landfall as a hurricane?
Yeah, and so right now the possibility is that it would make landfall as a Category 1 hurricane. We're not seeing much that's going to make it much stronger than that, but still we'll have to watch it just in case, because that is an unknown, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Gulf of Mexico is really, really hot. It's, you know, Panama City Beach right now, it's 87, 88, but there's some places over there in its path that are close to 90 degrees, which is above average, but it's not unusual. It gets like bath water in the Gulf of Mexico this time of year, and so that will be a question as to, you know, does that add fuel to the storm and maybe make it a little bit stronger than what the models are indicating? And so that's why, you know, we want people, especially on the eastern side of that storm. And, I mean, we're talking from Tampa. You know, Tampa could get, you know, 4, 6, 8 inches of rainfall out of this. There'll be severe weather on that eastern side of the storm as well. So even though, say, the center of the storm isn't coming to Tampa, they're still going to see some pretty big impacts, even in Orlando, heavy rainfall, severe weather, and right up the peninsula of Florida.
And, Chris, am I wrong, or has the Hurricane Forecast Center said that this is one of those years where we could get a significant number of hurricanes?
Yeah. So there, you know, we're getting up there as far as the forecast, like 23, 25 named storms. So it could be, you know, one, not necessarily for the record books, but it's going to be up there in, you know, like the top five busiest seasons if things kind of pan out the way we think it could be. So, you know, right here we are, we're on Debbie, and so we got a long way to go before we get, you know, there to the end of the alphabet. So we're in it for the long haul. But we have, you know, this month, September, October. Those are your big months for tropical activity. So we think it's going to be pretty busy.
We're going to be back down there at the end of September.
Right. Are you reporting that people are getting their supplies just in case this becomes a little bigger, a little bit more ferocious than it appears at this point?
You know, that's what we always encourage for people to do, is that even if it doesn't come, this is your opportunity, and we'll look at it as a test, because, you know, everyone's a procrastinator.
Yeah.
And you know, and so it's, you know, hopefully people are heeding it, even though I feel, you know, pretty confident that it's not going to be coming to Panama City Beach. But that's not to say in a few weeks or a month or whenever that it might be our turn, and it would be kind of nice if you had taken care of everything you know, ahead of schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to take you back. You mentioned Orlando just in passing. A listener has a trip to Disney scheduled midweek next week. Is this possibly a storm that's going to affect their trip of a lifetime?
Well, so the question will be, what happens with the rainfall as this thing stalls out up in, like, say, towards South Carolina? You know, it's still going to have a pretty good fetch of moisture that will extend across, possibly down across Florida. So we're going to have to watch that. But right now, if I'm looking at the latest model data, I am cautiously optimistic about the listeners' Disney plans.
Okay, good news.
So I think yeah. they might actually do okay coming out of this.
Okay, but now if you're going to Hilton Head, that might be a different story.
Yeah.
If that's your midweek trip.
Definitely going to be a different story. That's one that I would double check before going. That's not to say you have to cancel plans, but this is going to definitely be something that we're going to have to be worried about here as we head into the early to middle part of this coming week.
Has school started yet in that area?
Oh my goodness! So you might have heard my wife crying. She works in the school system.
Oh.
She went back to work Friday, and the kids go back a week from Monday.
Ouch!
That's just wrong, Chris. Back in the day,
yes,
I looked forward to, I believe it was around the 23rd of June. That's when school was out, and we didn't go back until the day after
Labor Day.
Yeah, that's how it was for me when I lived in Pennsylvania. But once I moved to Georgia when I was 12, things kind of switched, and it was the complete opposite. But yeah, I'm kind of a old school person too. That, you know, it doesn't seem right going back to school this early.
No
complaints when you're getting out in May either.
That's true. Yes.
Well, Chris, the blatant plug light just went off, and when we're here, obviously, you know, we want people to listen to and watch WGN, but when we're at home, we will use Roku to watch WJHG. And how can people follow you if they don't have Roku or streaming, or what would you recommend?
Oh, my goodness. You can, let's see, there's an Apple TV app, there's the Roku app. You can download, you could just go to the website and watch the forecast, or you could download the WJHG news app, the WJHG weather app. If you just put in Panama City Beach weather into your search engine, I guarantee you that one of those apps is going to pop up, and you'll be able to get all the latest scoops from what's coming down, going on down here. But I promise you guys need to stop calling me when the weather is potentially bad, because I tell you what, You don't call me that often.
I know.
That tells me something, that the weather's pretty darn good down here.
Well, thank you so much for your time, as always, Chris. And Chris is very active on Facebook, too, and puts up these updates with maps and things anytime there's any weather that you are concerned about. And if you're planning on traveling, or if you have family in that area, if you have property.
Because we have lots of listeners that travel from Chicago down to the Panhandle.
Absolutely. Thanks to us. I'm taking all the credit for it.
And I tell you, hey, there's a new update coming in probably the next 10 minutes or so, so you can be on the lookout for that. That'll be coming in from the Hurricane Center here in about 10 minutes.
Great. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Chris.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Y'all be good, and we'll see you in a little over a month.
All right. Be safe. Bye-bye now.
That's Chris Smith. He is the chief meteorologist with WJHG-TV in Panama City Beach, Florida. If you're on Facebook, just do a search for Chris Smith. You'll find his page. And as we said, there's a lot of people listening to us that travel back and forth between Chicago and the Panhandle of Florida, as we do. And Chris is always on top of things.
Yeah. Gosh. A one, category one, sounds like, you know. But when you're talking about possibly some areas on the East Coast with a foot of rain.
Yeah.
That's pretty devastating.
But also, I saw something earlier this week on Facebook. Someone who was, they had traveled to the Panhandle, and they were, I don't know where they were staying, but it was somewhere on the beach, and their air conditioning went out. And apparently the person they were running from just said, oh, well, go buy a window air conditioner. I said, no. That's rather than fixing the air conditioning. You know, it was some rental condo or something like that.
I was just thinking, too, that a window air conditioner in someplace like Florida would be a lot like our snow blowers. Like if you run down to Costco, you'd find, oh, there are no air conditioners. They're all gone. And you can get those little, like an individual room air conditioner. You don't put it in your window. Because there are a lot of people, in fact, I heard Wendy talking about this once, in their house, it's really hard to cool the upstairs.
Yeah.
And we're on the second floor. And boy, I can back that up. We can go to the first floor apartment.
But years ago, we had our new roof put on, and we had new insulation put in, and new windows. Oh, boy, did it make a difference.
Yes. It's something like 16 inches of insulation in the attic, which we had like
it's one of those things
before.
That really paid for itself.
Yeah, it really did. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on WGN.
You look so good. I'm so good. You know you got me going now.
Got me going.
Just like I knew you would.
Like I knew you would.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I'll let that play a little bit because, and I know I've told this story before, but that is one of my favorite Beatles records because that was from the first album session the Beatles did. And it was the last song they recorded at the session. John Lennon's voice was pretty much blown out.
Yeah.
There was no overdubbing, no nothing. What you hear was the band playing live.
So good.
And George Martin recorded it, and that's how they sounded at that point in their development.
Good stuff. Okay. That means it's time now for a quick shout-out for those of you who are tuned in tonight. And I do hope that Tracy Douglas in Savannah, Georgia, was listening carefully and closely to Chris Smith, because she's in Savannah. And also, we've got a listener who checked in, Joan Bloom from South Carolina. So again, he was talking about the East Coast is going to have to be on the lookout for Debbie, which will probably be a hurricane by this time tomorrow night. Sharon Malone is listening to us in K-Town. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Susan Schimmel's in Glen Ellen. Mary Gold in Tinley Park. Our dear graphic guru, Diane Vasquez, has done it again with a Hello August graphic for us. Thank you, Diane. Fred Husar is in Lyon, Scott Cooper in Naperville. Les Nelson's out in Oswego. Richard Wade is in Troy, Missouri. Terry White in Batavia. Sandy McComas in Michigan City. Oh, speaking of Terry, Terry and Janelle, two-thirds of River Road Trio are tuned in tonight in their car. Want to give them a special shout-out because I got
hey,
a nice
Terry,
text.
Hey, Janelle.
Yeah.
She we got to get them back in the studio.
She said, it's so nice. I'm listening. Oh, well, thank you for tuning in.
And I have to, for a second, Janelle posted that Facebook is so weird. Facebook had decided to take down one of their posts for some stupid stupid reason.
And it was a post just telling people where they're going to be performing today. And Facebook took it down.
Facebook's algorithms are nuts.
Yeah, why would...
I don't know.
And as she pointed out, you're trying hard to make a living doing this, and you're using the...
Go to riverroadtrio.com.
Yeah. But you're using the social media the way it's supposed to be used. And then somehow, some way, Facebook decides they don't like it. Robin Aiken is listening in Port Charlotte, Florida. Beverly Goodall is tuned in from Highwood, listening on her transistor radio. Donna Youngheim is in Oak Lawn. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Thanks, Susan, for tuning
in from Memphis.
Patrice Tantari, thank you, Patrice. She's a great regular listener. Also, we have the Segenreich Realty Group tuned in from tropical South Florida. Sandy and George listening. Yeah. Peter Jacobowitz is in Citrus County, Florida. Boy, Florida's really checking in big time tonight. Brian Lefevre is in, guess where? Chicago.
Whew. We getting out to Chicago
we
tonight?
We are. Thank goodness, Brian. If you weren't listening, I wouldn't know that. Bobby Danos, our buddy from Sammich, is tuned in. Christine Falling is in Plainfield, not far from Sammich. Janet Appenzeller. I told her last week I enjoy saying her name, Appenzeller. Jean Jacobson is listening from Milwaukee. Rita Reagy is in Fort Worth, Texas. Judy B. is in LaPorte, Indiana. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine, sending another lovely picture. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha, K-Town. Nora Brozanski is in Aurora. Lloyd Moncrief in Ottawa. Nancy Taffy is in West Allis. And let me go to the text. Bonnie Nelson is tuned in. David Shine, Sen Class of 64, is listening from Mount Prospect. Dean is in Indy.
I like this one. Betsy listening from Taos, New Mexico, and she included a picture of her backyard.
Ooh, nice. Thank you. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Bonnie and George are in Elgin, waiting for their Sea Crane radio to be delivered. Meantime, they're listening on their iPad. Stacy's in Algonquin. Scott in South Dakota. Bonnie in Butternut. JP in Peoria. And Bill in Hobart. I think I rattled them all off. And if I miss you, I'll catch you next week. I promise.
And one other thing.
Yeah.
Debbie called in. Mm-hmm. She's from Chicago, and she's listening as well.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Debbie. Good.
I'm sorry that they've named a tropical storm after you.
Yeah.
That stinks when you realize. Have they ever had a Julian?
I think they have.
I think so.
A Hurricane Julian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was. Or at least it was on the list of names.
Whether or not it... But as Chris Smith said, this year is so volatile with the warm water, we may see ourselves going through the alphabet. Janet Rogala is listening in Pittsburgh. Yay, we're getting out to the Upper East Coast. Debbie's from the Chaos East Side. Does that mean anything to you as a South Sider, Southeast Side?
The Chaos East Side.
Phil's in Love's Park. And again, you can text us throughout the show. Call us at 312-981-7200. I would like to suggest that you check out our pictures on our drive to work tonight.
Some really nice pictures.
Yeah. Somebody said, I like the variety of pictures. You know,
and for those of you that ask, no, I'm doing the driving.
Yes.
I'm not taking pictures. Johnny is taking pictures while I'm driving. But both my hands are on the wheel.
Both my hands are holding my phone, trying to keep it steady, which is really challenging on Lakeshore Drive. And now you know where the potholes are, so we kind of dodge them.
Speaking of that,
mm-hmm.
a warning.
Oh, yes.
If you are driving on Peterson.
Oh, my gosh.
They suddenly decided, with no warning, no signs, no nothing, to do construction on Peterson in California.
And you drop off the earth.
And literally, it's one of those wham.
It's really scary. I mean, it rattled both of us. It was such a hard fall. They're like, you just drop off a cliff. And that happened earlier this year at Western.
Yeah.
And finally, they put up some notification that there was construction ahead.
But there was no notification here. And everybody's just driving along, regular speeds, and all of a sudden, wham.
And you can do some serious damage to your car.
And in fact, we're scheduled to take our car in probably next week, and I'm going to have them put it up on a rack and look and make sure that nothing fell off.
Absolutely.
Because it was one of those.
You could blow a tire. You could lose control. I mean, it's like inches that you fall.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're driving your car and everything is kind of...
Well, when you're driving the regular speed, 30, yeah. 35 miles an hour, and suddenly you hit something like that, oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good.
So when I take the pictures, I'm using my camera, which is actually my phone, because a lot of people say, how do you take these pictures? And then I aim and shoot and hope for the best.
And we're going to be talking more about how to take good pictures with your phone later tonight. We're going to get a showbiz update from our friend Jessica Radloff. So stay with us, the WGN.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. We built a wall.
We built the pyramids.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery. Started with a big bang.
Hey! Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And for those of you who have been with us for more than a minute, you know when we play that, that usually means we are about to talk to the lady who is the Glamour Senior West Coast editor and the New York Times best-selling author of The Big Bang Theory, The Definitive Inside Story. That would be Jessica Radloff. Hey, Jessica, how are you doing?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Johnny. How are you guys?
Good. Are you jet lagged? Are you? Can you feel your feet? Do you know where you are?
Yes, I feel totally fine. I was on vacation. For those that are like, wait, what? Where is she? I was in Switzerland and England with my parents and my sister, but we took the trip. It was July 1st for 2 weeks. So I've been back now for about 2.5, 3 weeks, actually, almost. So... doing good and just posting the vacation photos later. So some people are like, wait, how are you in two places at once? And I'm like, oh, okay. It's been a couple weeks, so that's why.
That was a trip of a lifetime, though. I mean, I want to go to Switzerland after looking at your travel log. It's fabulous.
It looks wonderful.
Oh, my God. Have you ever been?
No.
No.
Obviously not for Johnny. Steve, have you?
No.
No.
I'm in love with Switzerland. I have to go back. It is just the most magical place, and it's so clean. It's so fairy tale like. I mean, it doesn't even look real. Some of the pictures on my Instagram, you're like, this can't actually be a real place.
I know.
And it is. It's so gorgeous, and I just want to go back. Also, because I'm running out of chocolate, and I clearly couldn't find more when I was there. So, you know,
for
that in itself, it calls for another trip to Switzerland.
I hear you. Gosh, but you had this other trip that you were highlighting, and this ties in with what to watch on television. The month
yes,
of
explain
August.
Explain to us what happened when you tried to find love in New Zealand.
Oh my God. Second there, I thought we were talking about Comic-Con last weekend because I was there in San Diego with the cast of Tracker or just Justin Hartley.
Yes.
And I know you guys love that show. So I was thinking, wait, what happened that I was finding love with in San Diego? But yes, I was back in April. I was in New Zealand for week 4 of The Bachelorette, and part of that episode aired this past Monday, and then the rest of it, was to be continued. So the rest of it will air tomorrow, or not tomorrow night, Monday night. And I made a video diary when I was there about me trying to find love. And basically what happened is every time I would find sheep or cows, I'd be like, do you know of any eligible men? And then these animals would just run away from me. So I don't know what that says, but the video is currently, I was going to post it on Instagram on Monday before the show airs.
Yeah.
It's currently on my Facebook. And if you love animals, then you'll love this. And they're very cute. They just did not like me. So.
Well, I love the fact that in your video, we see you trying out olives or olive oil and then going on a boat ride.
Tasting.
And I'm like, she's alone on that boat ride.
I was with the publicist for The Bachelorette, so at least I wasn't totally by myself. But but I have to say, though, I thought I would be so taken with the guys in New Zealand. I think I was more taken with the guys in Switzerland and England, actually.
Uh-huh.
So, but you know what? Any place is fine. So I'll go anywhere.
So,
you know?
So basically,
you find the love of your life, go.
So basically, you're leaning towards Switzerland because love and chocolate?
Chocolate, yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Yes. Love and chocolate and just the most gorgeous scenery you've ever seen in your life. And New Zealand has that, too, of course. But Switzerland was just so magical and out of a fairy story book, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I need a press trip there next. So.
Let me take you back to what you were just alluding to. Comic-Con, Tracker, Justin Hartley, tell us more.
Well, I know you guys love that show.
Yes.
And it was great. I've known Justin for years because of This Is Us, and he's the sweetest, just the sweetest, nicest guy. And it was him, and it was Elwood Reed, who's the executive producer and showrunner. And it was a packed ballroom of over 2,000 fans. And everybody at Comic-Con is so nice and just really has such a love of the show. And those guys were great, and we were talking about what's to come in Season 2, which will premiere on October 13th, which is a Sunday, to kick off CBS's premiere week. And, they gave some great – I'm afraid to say too much in case someone hasn't seen the show or they – are not caught up on all 13 episodes, but there's a lot that we're going to find out slowly about Coulter's personal life, mm-hmm. and a lot of his family members will be back mm-hmm. in Season 2. So there's some really good stuff coming, and there's also 20 episodes this season. Last season was only 13.
Yeah.
So there will be 20 episodes coming in Season 2. So that'll be good. There's a lot of stuff. And people just love the show. I mean, it's mm-hmm. beautiful to watch. And this guy is such a good guy, Coulter. He is the kind of guy that we want more of in this world. So,
yeah,
I really enjoyed watching it. And Justin's just wonderful and stuff. So anytime you get to hang out with him, he's so funny, too. not everybody gets to see always.
We've been fans of his since we first saw him playing the part of the Green Arrow years ago.
Yes.
But also, am I right? Is he one of the producers of Tracker?
He is. He's also an executive producer on Tracker. So this is, like, the thing that people don't realize about this show is he is in nearly every single frame. He carries us, and every scene is also basically outside. Like, that's a rigorous schedule to be in nearly every scene, but also you're always outside in the elements. I don't know if you could tell in one episode last season, like, he clearly had a cold.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's no joke, because, you know, it can get cold there, and they're shooting, you know, 14-hour days. So mm-hmm. it's a lot. It's a lot of work. But he's loving it. He really is.
And he actually does his stunts, too, as I understand it.
He does most of them. He mm-hmm. was telling us on the panel that there's a couple that they, like, have said, no, you can't do that. Like, jump out of a plane and stuff. But he definitely does a lot of them. I mean, the guy is in incredible shape. Like, it's just crazy, you know? So, So he's more than capable, but they still have to, like, be like, no, Justin, not this time.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, folks, he is married. I'm saying this for Jessica's benefit. He is married. He's adorable. He's funny. And he's also mega talented. So he's the complete package. And seriously, I was really happy to see the great turnout at Comic-Con because you've got a cross-section of ages that love this show. And Sunday night seems to be a tough time slot for it because oftentimes it gets bumped because of sports in the afternoon that you really have to record like a block of shows on Sunday night so that you get the whole show.
Totally. Well, I think the thing it has going for it, too, is that it's the first scripted show right out of the gate after sports that night, so it's not like super late on a Sunday night, at least, where you're still kind of awake, so you can definitely watch it. And it's a fun, gripping, interesting show. And I think, you know, and you always have some sort of ending there, you mm-hmm. know, but you also have mysteries that carry over. So they really set it up for great success, but I think it surpassed what anyone could have imagined, especially with so many options out there in this day and age. I mean, the show just continued to rise in the ratings, mm-hmm. which does not happen. And the last time a show that was a brand new show was the number one show overall in all of scripted television with Survivor in 2000.
Wow.
So that also tells you how much of a rarity Tracker is, and I only expect it to grow in Season 2, and it's also the number one show on Paramount+. So I think there's also something that I found is that people don't want to be left out of a conversation when they find out there's a show that everybody's watching. Mm-hmm. So I think like now's really a good time to catch up on it because I think it's only going to get bigger in season two. Mm-hmm.
Jessica, before we get too far afield, we wanted to touch on, since this is the beginning of August, what's coming up in August that we should set our DVRs to record?
Well, first, let me just say you two are two of my favorite people, so I have to return that compliment.
Thank you.
You
thank
guys
you.
Are always so good to me. I mean, right now, I think we're all in Olympics mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so fun to watch, and just it's exactly the escape that we need. But there is a lot of great TV coming in August. Of course, The Bachelorette is still airing, if you're a fan of that. Emily in Paris is coming back to Netflix for season four. And that's just such a fun escape. In a way, it's a shame they couldn't have coincided it with the Olympics, but it'll be great for when you're missing the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Emily in Paris coming. Also, Industry returns for its third season back on HBO. It'll stream on Max. Of course, tomorrow night is the finale of House of the Dragon, which I don't watch because it's a little too violent for me. I've never gotten into that, but I know that has such a huge following. And then also what's going to be fun is that Jim Henson Idea Man, which is the documentary about Jim Henson that Ron Howard directed,
mm-hmm.
That premiered on Hulu earlier this summer, and it's going to get its broadcast debut on ABC on August 11th. So if you haven't seen that
oh,
yet,
good.
That's coming up. It's nominated for an Emmy this year.
Okay, trivia
yeah, so
question.
Lots of great stuff.
How far do you go back with Jim Henson?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I can't remember a time where I feel like I didn't know Jim Henson mm-hmm. and the Muppets and everything, all these characters that he created. I love them all so much. I mean, they're part of my childhood, and I still love them. I mean, the Muppets Take Manhattan, the Great Muppet Caper, the Muppet movie, like, it's just all of it.
Okay.
How about you guys?
I'm going to go back to, I believe it was Crammel Milk. And this is the first time that I ever saw a Muppet. It was one of Jim Henson's almost like sock puppet Muppets
mm-hmm.
that was used in the Crammel Milk commercial.
See, my first experience with Jim Henson was watching the Jimmy Dean Show.
Oh, yeah, with Ralph the Dog.
Ralph
yes.
the Dog was on there.
Ralph.
Yeah. And I remember
and Jimmy would sing and Ralph would sometimes sing with him.
Yeah, and it was decades.
Search out old Jimmy Dean shows with Ralph. They're yeah. wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
I've got to ask you about
that.
A movie that I'm sorry I didn't set our DVR for, but I told your brother to set his DVR for Elizabeth Taylor, The Lost Tapes on tonight.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I didn't see it yet, but I heard, I mean, it's about, I think, 6 hours worth of tapes told in her own voice, along mm-hmm. with some of her closest friends. So if you're an Elizabeth Taylor fan, it's not to be missed. It's in our Glamour Watch This guide. So
mm-hmm.
if you go look at the guide, it has it all in there, but it starts tonight. And it's a fascinating, eye-opening docu-series that they're presenting.
Oh, I see, too. It is. I just found this on your page, too. It's streaming on Max. So if
yes.
you missed it and you didn't set your DVR, because I did not, you can check it out and stream it on Max. Because that's amazing, because you get to see, I suspect you see Richard Burton and Debbie Reynolds
mm-hmm.
and all of her close friends. And it's like, who makes tapes like that? But it won an award at the Tribeca Film Festival, too. So it was very well done. So if you're a fan, something
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah, I love a good documentary like that. And yes, you do wonder, where do all these tapes come from?
Really?
They know that there was going to be a documentary one day, because it was the same thing, too, with Princess Diana on National Geographic a few years ago, where they had all of her tapes, you know, that
yeah.
she, and then you hear it in her voice, and it's like, oh, my gosh, it's really incredible to hear all of that.
So can I take you back to The Bachelorette for just a moment? Because the listener said
they were
excited about this. Is the appeal of the whole Bachelorette thing ever going to go away? I mean, we've never gotten on board with it, and it baffles me.
Honestly, we have a friend who loves yeah. The Bachelorette, And when we've been with her, we would watch it. But I just kind of glaze over. Yeah. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it never tripped my trigger.
Yes.
Right. And I totally understand that. You know, a lot of people will tell me that they've never watched it. And then they watch for the first time The Golden Bachelor last year. So it's really interesting to hear from people, you know, who may have only discovered it recently in terms of actually watching it, or they haven't. And I understand. I mean, I remember watching from the very first season, mm-hmm. and I was really into it. And then there were some seasons along the way that I just didn't care about. I think a lot of it has to do with the lead itself. I was personally, and this is no secret, getting very tired of the fact that it was always these 20-somethings, you know, on camera saying, oh my God, if I can't find love here, my life is over. Yeah. You know, where is it? And it's just so exhausting. But they had a really wonderful lead earlier this year named Joey, and people just loved him. And they got back into it. I got back into it, especially at the end. And then I was really curious to see Jen this season. She's also the first Asian American bachelorette, and it's been such a long time coming. And she's also, you know, so wonderful, so witty, so smart. She puts these guys in their place. She's just really fun to watch. So I was really excited to see her season, but a lot of it comes down to the leads. And there's been leads in the past that I have not been interested in, and that kind of can take you out of the whole season. But I do think they're on a bit of a roll now. Not that they weren't, but even more so now, I feel like it's really picking up steam again, and especially that has to do also with the success of The Golden Bachelor, because it was really hitting a different age group that so many people wanted to see. So, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of people love Love is Blind on Netflix. I've mm-hmm. never gotten into that show, but people are like, how could you not watch it? It just is not for me. So I understand, you know, that's why there's so much programming out there, is because everybody has different tastes and certain things speak to them. But yeah, I'm curious to see, especially since I was on set this season, how the rest of Jen's season will play out, especially with some of these guys who are very interesting. And then I'm very excited to see The Golden Bachelorette with Joan in September. I think that's going to be really cool to see the woman in the driver's seat this time around. So I really enjoy it. But, you know, you really... you've got to watch what grabs you, because mm-hmm. there's nothing worse than when you have to watch TV that you're just not invested in. And I know this because people say to me all the time, oh my God, I'm so jealous you get to see all these screeners and you get to stay home and watch TV. And, you know, a lot of times I do enjoy it, but a lot of times it is such a chore.
It's work.
To log through these mm-hmm. screeners that you do not care about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, or ones that you think you're going to love and they're like, oh, not that great. So, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to it. But yeah, I love The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, but there's been some seasons that I was like, I'm not really digging it.
That's how I felt. We have a friend that has watched every episode of Survivor, and I'm like, we shouldn't go there. We shouldn't even talk about it. It's like politics, because I'm going to just look at you like you've got three heads, because I don't get it. And Jessica, we obviously talked quite a bit about the passing of Bob Newhart, but there was one part of his career that we didn't talk about, and that was his wonderful appearances on The Big Bang Theory. And I can't even talk about them without smiling, because he was perfect. Did you ever have the opportunity to interview him?
Yes. So many times over the years, I feel incredibly lucky. Of course, the most recent was a couple of years ago when I interviewed him for the Big Bang Theory book. And he was as sharp and as witty as ever. He had so many great memories from the show, and he just wanted to wax poetic about it. And, you know, he wanted a role that was recurring, that he could come back to, and he wanted to win an Emmy because it was ridiculous to think that in his entire career, the man had never won an Emmy until he guest starred on The Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. And he told Chuck Lorre he wanted that to happen, and Chuck Lorre and Steve Vallaro and Steve Holland, they made it happen for him, and he just loved it so much, and he was so supportive of the book because, you know, when we were talking about, you know, when I was in the process of writing it, he's like, I'm going to buy it. I was like, please, you do not need to buy it. Like, I will send you a copy. And he was only one of two people that I interviewed for the book that I would not call them by their first name. I had to call him Mr. Newhart. He earned that respect. The same went for Jimmy Burrows, who was the director of Big Bang's pilot episode. I called him Mr. Burrows. And, you know, they're legends. Mm-hmm. And it was so special to get to have that time with Mr. Newhart for the book. And, you know, in a bittersweet way, he brought us all back together when he passed away a few weeks ago, because I know how much he meant to Johnny Galecki. He and Johnny were very close. Of course, they share Chicago roots. So I immediately texted Johnny and talked to him. I talked to Chuck. I talked to Melissa Rauch. You know, and it was just nice to reminisce about Mr. Newhart because he just was so exceptional. And a story I've never really told is that the first time I interviewed him actually was back in 2011. And it was for Modern Luxury Magazine, which is based in Chicago. It was a magazine that I first was freelancing for in my early days at Glamour, and I talked to Mr. Newhart at length for that interview feature, and he was so wonderful, and he was performing at the Chicago Theater that October, and he invited me and my parents, and don't forget, like, my parents live in St. Louis, he invited all of us to come see him and come backstage afterwards, and we did. And I remember it was also the night the Cardinals were in the World Series, and we were freaking out, like, with the phone in one hand and, like, watching, you know, Mr. Newhart on stage. And he was wonderful, and he was there with his wife, Ginny. And I also got to know Don Rickles through the years, too, at various things. So I got to see that friendship in action with Rickles and Newhart, and that was extraordinary to watch because they were such great friends, and their wives were great friends, and they always vacationed together. And so, yeah, so to answer your question, I've interviewed Mr. Newhart numerous times over the years. I interviewed him at the Emmys when he did win the Emmy Award for guest starring, so I knew this was coming. You know, unfortunately, the most wonderful people in the world, they can't live forever. And, you know, at 94, I knew he was more frail. And I also knew, you know, that once his wife passed away a year before, and usually when you have a spouse and you've been married that long, it's typical that, you know, sometimes it happens very close together. So I wasn't entirely surprised, but of course, it still was very sad, but I was smiling more than anything that this man had given us so much laughter over the years, and also did it in a way where I find so much of the humor nowadays, and for a long time now, is so crude and is so based in things that I just don't find funny. And he was able to find humor in the most basic situations, and that, you know, that stammer, he had that joke that that stammer bought him a house in Bel Air, and you know, there's just nobody like him, and he just found hilarity in the most mundane situations. And you know, it's I wish Newhart would come to Netflix so everybody could watch him in action, because what an incredible talent and an even kinder man.
You know, you just touched on something that we commented on when we were originally talking about Bob Newhart a week or so ago. I don't have a problem with blue material if it is funny. sadly,
right.
too many comedians use blue material as an excuse for not being funny. But one of the many things I respected and loved about Bob Newhart is he never, ever, ever, you can go back through all of his material.
Right.
He never worked blue. He didn't need to. He was funny mm-hmm. in a very unique, very wonderful way.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, did you happen to see Jane Fonda's post on Facebook about Bob
Newhart? Yes, I did.
What a wonderful, emotional post.
Yeah, it was really. I mean, even President Biden wrote something mm-hmm. too. I mean, this man touched so many people, and I think, you know, unfortunately, the news of his passing came at a time where politically things have been so crazy in the news cycle lately that
right.
I don't want to say it got lost in everything in it, but it came at a time which, you know, when things were really shifting in the Democratic Party, and you right. know, so it was kind of like. You wanted him to get even more attention from all these amazing people
yeah.
to hear the reach out because he touched so many people's lives. I mean, they don't make him like that anymore.
Yeah.
He was truly one of the last living legends in the comedy world.
I believe it was the last time we talked to you, or one of the times we talked to you, you mentioned that your book, your best-selling book, The Big Bang Theory, The Definitive Inside Story, had come out in various languages. What's the latest with the book?
Yeah. And how many languages at this point?
Oh gosh, it's in Polish, it's in Portuguese, it's in German, it's in Russian, it is in oh God, I'm probably forgetting. I think of the ones that it hasn't come out in because people keep bombarding me with questions and I feel bad. They want it in Italian, they want it in French, and I'm still shocked it hasn't happened yet. Hopefully soon, because there's so many fans. And I saw that firsthand when I was actually in Switzerland and England, and you can get it there because it's translated to German, and of course it's available in the UK too, but there's so many fans all over, and they're equally as obsessed now with young Sheldon as well. So, you know, it's really cool to see it in these different languages and collecting them from all over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's really fun to see that because this show had such worldwide appeal. And that was one of the things Mr. Newhart said to me was he would actually get letters from all over the world where people just wanted to talk to him about Professor Proton, who he played on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it really was amazing. It had a way of bringing people together that, you know, doesn't happen often. Although I do wonder, now that I think about it, you know, they translate the voices. So that must have been quite an act
yeah.
they had to get to translate Professor Proton because that stammer was still very much there.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, I do wonder what he sounded like
that's
in German
funny.
Or,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Polish.
It was, but, yeah. Polish, exactly. So,
that's wild.
Yeah, it's, it's also in Croatian.
Oh,
Croatia.
My gosh.
Well, I know it's in Croatia. Is that how you... Oh, God, that's terrible that I don't know. Is that how you say it's in Croatia?
Yeah.
I really need to do a tour of all these places that it's available at. I didn't like the fact that they would have the... they had some of the morning shows in the different countries Zoom with me, and I'm like, you know, we really should have done this in person, you guys. I would have gladly hopped on a plane to wherever you are to do it in person. But,
wow.
you know, it's cool to see it in different languages and all that. And it's neat. I was looking at it recently because I wanted to revisit, you know, Mr. Newhart's interview and, you know, and the thing also that's very funny too. One of my favorite stories is once his character died on the show, he came back kind of as
right.
a ghost of Sheldon's imagination, and the producers and writers dressed him as like this Obi-Wan
figure, right. It was, you know, a wonderful episode.
So funny.
Yeah, so funny. And Mr. Newhart hated that costume. It was itchy. It was heavy. Getting him into it was a nightmare for him. And they would all joke. They're like, Bob, oh, God love him. Bob hated that thing. And, you know, he just was miserable. And he would be the first to tell you he was miserable in it. And the producers got the biggest kick out of it because they were like, we can't believe we're making Bob Newhart wear this costume. And he's absolutely miserable. And he's sitting on a log in this scene. And, you know, and it just was so funny because also he, Mr. Newhart, was not a fan, really, of Star Wars. He never really watched it. He didn't know a lot about it.
Uh-huh.
So he's in this robe and, you know, he's like, what the heck is this? You know?
Why?
It's a really funny story and
it is
to hear him talk about so openly how he hated this costume. And the producers got the biggest kick out of putting him in it. Because they knew how much he hated it, and it was a lot of roping, and it made for very cumbersome getting dressed and going to the bathroom and all those things that the poor guy had to put up with in his 80s. But you know, you do it for the art. So.
Well, now every time I see that, because of course we still watch the show and rewind over and over again, I will have to think about him being absolutely miserable in that burlap robe that he was wearing.
Absolutely hated it. And he also didn't know why Chuck had to create that the character dies on the show. You know,
because
why he had to wear the damn robe. He was not happy about that. And he did say to me, I was always bugging Chuck Lorre about this because Mr. Newhart said to me, he's like, I'll never forget that standing ovation and applause I got when I won the Emmy. And I told Chuck that I wanted him to record it and it can be the music that I wake up to every morning to get me out of bed would be the applause that I got for winning that Emmy. And I would tell Chuck, I'm like, did you record it yet? Did you give him a tape that he can wake up to hear that and stuff? So, you know, he was just so funny and witty until the very end. And
so,
you know,
sweet.
I just, you know, what a life and what a legacy. You know, it's hard to be sad about that when you know that he had that kind of impact.
Yeah. Well, it is always a delight to talk with you. How do people best get, for example, a listener says, where can I find out what she is recommending? The Watch This column. I know you're on Instagram. You're very active. You're on X. You're on Facebook. How does one get the Glamour Watch This column?
If you go to glamour.com every Sunday, it's there. It comes out at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, every Sunday morning. And then I also post it on my Instagram as well. And that's Jessica Ratloff 14, which is kind of a mouthful. But the easy way, of course, is just to go to glamour.com and the Watch This guide is there every Sunday. And it takes me hours to put this thing together every week because it is so detailed and I try to watch as much as I can and give my recommendations and stuff. So yeah, it's got everything in there for this coming week. And then, of course, next week, there will be lots of new stuff, especially with the Olympics then ending.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of networks and streamers, they don't want to go up against the Olympics for obvious
reasons. Sure.
So there will be more stuff coming later in August. And then, of course, in September and October, because this is the first year really without the strike impacting the fall TV schedule. So. Mm-hmm. It's going to be coming at us very fast.
Well, good. That gives us an excuse to get you back on the radio. Thank you so much.
Anytime. I love you guys.
Love you too. Take
care.
Anytime
I'm here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great Saturday night.
Thanks.
Thanks,
bye
Jessica.
Now.
It's Jessica Ratloff. She is just, she's wonderful.
And if you want to look her up, it's R-A-D as in David, L-O-F-F.
Right.
Jessica Ratloff 14, if you want
you
to check
find her
out.
You can find her on Facebook, very active. In fact, if you go to her Facebook page, you'll see a video of the Looking for Love
the Bachelorette video, yes.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. What sad news that just broke yesterday. Aerosmith has officially retired from the road and canceled their farewell tour. They were supposed to resume their tour in about a month or so, but then they realized and they addressed the primary cause for their retirement from the road, Steven Tyler's vocal injury, which forced them to initially postpone their farewell tour. After just three dates in September of 2023, and they were scheduled to resume the tour on September 20th and stay on the road through late February. But now, apparently, Stephen's vocal problems are significant enough that they're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, despite having a medical team by his side, they have determined that it is clear that a full recovery from his vocal injury is not possible. That really is heartbreaking, because what a voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I think about Huey Lewis and the predicament that he's in with his hearing and not being able to perform.
Huey Lewis is a different thing, because like we've seen him interviewed, was it most recently with Jimmy Kimmel?
Kimmel. Mm-hmm.
And he actually had to bring out a little laptop
mm-hmm.
that allows him to see what Kimmel is saying. So that's a different thing. That's a hearing problem. But with Steven Tyler, this is a vocal injury.
I'm mentioning them because it made me think of two great,
great
voices, like no other voices.
Two seriously distinctive voices.
And
I'm thinking the years that Tyler was a coach on American Idol,
mm-hmm.
he was so, so helpful. You had the feeling that unlike some of the coaches who may just be going through the motions, he actually cared, and he was trying to nurture these contestants to do the best they could possibly do.
And he taught a few of them how to dress a little more flamboyantly.
Well, yeah.
You know, I think it was on one of the Idol shows that he performed with Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
She brought her A game to perform with him, too.
But that kind of defines him. Anytime he performed, he brought his A game, and I think that may be one of the many reasons that he's realizing, no, he can't bring his A game anymore, so why do that? Now, I understand that there are possibly some future releases. They're going through their vaults, they're digging up some mm-hmm. things, and I guess he can occasionally do some singing. It's just he can't do a sustained concert.
Mm-hmm.
But what a sad news.
Well, let me just quickly mention, you talk about fabulous voices that have been silenced. What a nice surprise last week when Celine Dion sang.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
If you haven't seen the Celine Dion video from the Paris Olympics, and I'm seeing a number of confirmations that, unlike some of the other performers, she did not lip sync. She was warned she should lip sync because of her vocal problems. She said, no, I want to sing it. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
if you haven't
really
seen
is.
It, look at it.
I get goosebumps just talking about it. It was so powerful. We are going to talk tech coming up. Patrick is in the house.
We are about to talk tech. We are joined now in studio with the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be Dr. Patrick Crispin and his associate.
His assistant.
Joseph Gibson Crispin.
Hello, Joseph.
Hi.
Hi.
Woohoo!
It was another day of Pokemoning, right?
It was another day of Pokemoning.
Only one Pokemon during this event.
Only one
Pokemon.
But it was hot. As hot as it was last week,
it was
right?
Hot.
Yeah.
I was melting as soon as I stepped outside of this car.
I don't blame you, because it was brutally hot today. We got a lot to cover with Patrick tonight. In fact, can I start you off with a listener from Ohio said, and I'm blindsiding you with this, so you've got the hour to look it up. She said there's some news in Ohio where we can now load our driver's license on Apple Wallet.
Yes.
Do you think that this is going to become the norm, and do you think this is safe?
It is safe because it is sort of like loading your credit card onto your iPhone or whatever.
Sure.
California actually has a version of it that's not connected to your Apple Wallet. There's an app that you have to run. But we're starting to see more and more states now going to have digital wallets. And just like you can store your credit card on your Apple Wallet, mm-hmm. you'll be able to store your driver's license. So it's absolutely legitimate, and you can do this, and there shouldn't be a charge for it.
Hmm.
And I have to ask the obvious, because it is digital, how long before somebody hacks it?
It would be very difficult to hack, because it is encrypted on your phone to the security chip on your phone, okay. and it's almost impossible for someone to break into that unless they're a nation state. And it's connected to the state database, and the state database should be completely encrypted. So
keywords almost and should.
But yeah. It is as close to being secure as you can get with digital. I would not worry about this at all.
And at this point, she mentioned Apple Wallet. Yes. So that's just for Apple users at this point.
I've not seen how Ohio's doing this, but mm-hmm. my guess is it's going to be coming to Google Wallet as well.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you ever see passports going digitally?
Yeah. In fact, the Global Entry app has an app that goes along with it where you can actually, when you're on the plane and you're landing, you can do your declaration in an app on your phone instead of having to fill out the paper.
Really?
Handy. Very nice.
So it's we're already there.
Yeah. Yeah. But the downside, if you're a world traveler, if yes. you're not getting stamps in your actual paper book, it's not quite as exciting as having it digitally done, right?
It is kind of frustrating. It's like, wait a minute, I want to have stamps. And yeah. Like, nope, just go through.
That's like the other day as we're driving to the station, we pulled up behind a truck. And on the back of the truck, actually it was a van, and on the back window, there were all these stickers from all the places they'd yes. gone yeah. to. And that used to be a thing back when I was Joseph's age, where you would travel. And for years, my dad had one side of the windshield was all these stickers for places he'd been to.
Well, don't forget, your parents and grandparents had luggage, and the hotels would put stickers on
right.
the
yeah.
luggage.
Yeah.
So you could see that you went to the Grand Canyon or you were on a cruise. I miss that.
Well, remember,
and even back in the day, you used to get, along with your, not your driver's license, but your regular license plate,
mm-hmm.
you would get a small, like a mini thing of your license plate. You would attach it to your keys.
Oh, yes.
If your keys got lost, you put them in a mailbox, and they'd be mailed back to you.
Magically, we'll come right back to
yep.
you.
Okay, that's cool.
yeah. I'm thinking about, gosh, I just had a Joseph moment. This profound thing that I wanted to talk about just escaped me.
Joseph, what was Johnny going to say?
Don't know.
That's exactly okay. what I'm going to say. I've got so many things I want to talk about.
Well, I want to take you for a second to something we have talked about before, and I finally got around to doing it yesterday. It's uBlock Origin.
That's correct.
And Patrick had told us about this before. I finally downloaded it. Application? No,
it's an extension.
Extension, thank you. That I put on, so far I put it on Facebook, Firefox, I put it on Opera. I have to manually put it on Vivaldi. Google, however, is saying, we don't like it so much. You want to explain what it is, how it works, and why is Google saying, we don't like it so much anymore?
And I actually, until a couple days ago, I was really upset at Google for this. Let me go all the way back to square one, and this might take a few minutes, so if we mm-hmm. need to take a break, that's fine. When you get your computer and turn it on, or you get download a web browser, you get the base install of the web browser. So Firefox, Edge, Safari, Chrome, you just turn it on and it's the browser. But there's no extra bells and whistles mm-hmm. that have been added to it. These are called extensions. And you have the ability to add extra code to your web browser to make it do things. Things that are really, really helpful, or things that are really, really simple or silly. You could sit there and say, I don't want to see any information about the Chicago Cubs and their season this year. So anytime you see Chicago Cubs or Chicago White Sox, erase it from the web page. Just don't show it to me.
Wow.
You could do that. You can also make it where it's easier to open up PDFs or change the color scheme or whatever. So there are a bunch of really, really helpful extensions. And one of the most useful extensions out there is an ad blocker. It's actually a privacy blocker and an annoyance blocker called uBlock Origin. Not to be confused with uBlock, it's a different program, but uBlock Origin. Absolutely free of charge. You can add it to any web browser. And what the way it works is, and the way all of these extensions work, are they're based on something called a manifest. And the manifest is the rules that the company that made the web browser set, saying, okay, here are the things we're going to let your extension do with the code that we have on our servers. Mm-hmm. And there is something that's built into manifest version 2 on Chrome, which is called the Web Request API. And it's a really fantastic tool because it allows this uBlock Origin to stand between you and the web, so that when you connect to the web and try to get a web page, it says, okay, wait a minute, let me see the request that you're making. Let me clean this up for you. Okay, I'm going to go to the web page, get the web page for you. Okay, now, before I show it to you, I'm going to remove all the ads. I'm going to remove all the annoyances. I'm just going to have a really nice web page for you. Fantastic. Now, you and I are sitting there going, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. And Google realizes it, and they're right on this. And I hate saying that Google is right on this one.
I wish you could see Patrick's face right now.
I am so frustrated that they're right on this. Some extension that can go and take what you're requesting from the web and changing what you see from the web could technically be used for nefarious purposes to do really bad things for your web browsing experience. Hasn't happened yet, but it's technically possible.
Right.
So Google is kind of saying, you know how that web request API is working? Yeah, we're going to nerf that so it can't do that anymore. You have to use a new extension or a new API, and it's nowhere near as powerful. So if you are a uBlock Origin user right now, you've got days, like 20, 30, 40 days, before Google's going to stop your extension from working at all.
It will work with all the other browsers. Right.
It may not work with Edge because Edge is also based on Chromium.
Right.
It will work with Firefox. It will work with Vivaldi for now on. And Firefox is committed to keeping this Manifest version 2 going. But in Manifest version 3, which is the new version, which Google started rolling out, I think it was on the 23rd. They're now going to say you can't go and be this middleman anymore. You have to have specific set rules on what you're going to be filtering. Oh, and by the way, we're going to limit the number of filters you can apply. I'm not kidding when I say, and I actually counted this, on uBlock Origin on my Firefox, I'm running 155,831 network filters and 49,472 cosmetic filters. So when I'm browsing the web, I have a really, really nice experience. Manifest version 3 only allows 30,000 filters.
Wow.
So that's going to be an issue. Now, if you are a Chrome user and you desperately want to keep using uBlock Origin, you got to stop using it. You got to uninstall it. There is a new version called uBlock Origin Lite. You can get it in the Chrome Web Store. It filters only things that are within that 30,000. Updates only come when you update the app instead of getting it automatic. What I did when I found this was coming, and we've been talking about this on the air for months now, actually over a year. When I kind of said, you know, Google's going to be killing uBlock Origin. I can't use the web without uBlock Origin, the full version. I just left Chrome. I just went to Firefox.
Yeah.
And just said, no, I need my uBlock Origin. I need it to be able to go and do things on the internet. And
quickly without being bogged down with all the nonsense.
With all
nonsense.
The extra garbage and just the annoyances.
You may not know the answer to this. Is there anything on the horizon that would be the best of both worlds? uBlock Origin, but with a little more safeguards that would make Google happy? Or
and this is where I go back to where I was before I realized that Google had some sense and I knew what they were doing. My original thinking was Google's business when it comes to web browsing is what? Mm-hmm. What are they selling? How do they make their money? They have servers, right, and things like that, but where they're making most of their money is advertising. Google, right, is an advertising, right, company. And
so they want some of these things to pop up.
Want to. Yeah. So one, yes, I understand why they're deprecating this API, because, you know, it could be used for bad things. I hate saying that out loud. But they're not going to go and make it where what we used to have or what we have right now is going to continue to work, because it hurts their business.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to another web browser and use uBlock Origin, it just really changes the way you surf the web. It's been fantastic. I've been using it for probably 10 years.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Well, and I've only been using it for a couple of days, but a couple things I would pass on. One, I'm impressed with the fact that if I have Firefox open, and Firefox has been my main browser for years, if I open different tabs, it won't just tell me how many total things it has blocked. It will say, okay, you opened this tab and you now went to the New York Times. Here's how many we blocked on the New York Times site. Here's how many we, yep, blocked on Facebook's site. So it tells you, so it's kind of a learning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I wanted to see this, when my brother Lee does a blog, I wind up putting in a lot of the links. In putting in the links, I have to go to various sites. If he mentions an actress or something like that, I'll be looking to see where I can find the best information about this actress. And in doing that, I go to various sites. This tells me, okay, site A wanted to download 40 pieces of junk. Site B wanted to download 3 pieces of junk.
Well, it's not just the junk. It's the tracking stuff that's going around the internet.
Well, that's what I'm referring to generically
as junk. Because, again, uBlock Origin is, before that ever gets to your eyes,
mm-hmm,
it's removing it from that. So I really like that, and I'm not sure I want to give that up.
Yeah, but the other thing I found interesting, it installs differently on different browsers.
Yes.
On Firefox, you have the option of, okay, how do you want this to do blah, 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 blah? Yes.
That's a great thing. You go into the settings
and
you,
I like,
can
that,
choose what filters or what you want to block. So there's like 5 things it turns on by
now,
default.
Now, on Opera, it just kind of said, okay, it's installed. And didn't really make it obvious how you could go in and make the kind of choices that you could with Firefox.
Hmm.
So
and you also have it on Vivaldi, you say?
No, not yet. I'm putting it on Vivaldi, but I have to put it manually on,
yes,
Vivaldi.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Again, this sounds harder than it is.
Yeah.
But the point is, yeah, boy, am I with Patrick on this. I'm a fan of uBlock Origin and Firefox, yes.
And you prove that every husband should have a master microphone button, right? I've got my own mic button, but you've got the master,
yeah, that was operator error.
That's okay.
I turned off my mic and accidentally turned off John. It was certainly accidental. I would never do something like that on purpose.
I know.
Would never, ever do something like that on purpose. But the question was, why so many browsers?
Yes.
And for years.
And browsers that you mentioned, Vivaldi, Chrome, Firefox.
At the moment on most
Opera.
Of our computers, I have Firefox, Opera, Chrome, Edge, Vivaldi, I think there's one or two more. And I started doing this years ago, and one of the reasons was there were sometimes, and you found,
oh, yeah,
that when you would be going to banking sites,
mm-hmm,
sometimes some browsers wouldn't access them correctly. So,
right,
well, give me another browser and let me do,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I actually use Firefox as my main browser. I have a Mac. Safari as my backup browser.
Safari.
And my Safari doesn't have any extensions in it except 1Password. So that if I go to a web page, but for some reason or other says, oh, you've got an ad blocker, I'm not going to let you get in, it's,
mm-hmm,
like, okay, well, I'll get in Safari. And I only use Safari to get in your web page, so you're not going to find any real information about me. But, okay, if you want to play that game, go ahead.
Hmm.
And for those of you wondering, yes, you can use Safari on a Windows machine.
Yep. And you can use Edge on a Mac.
Yeah.
And you're not slowing down your machine by having all of these browsers available to you. I use banking as the best example.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was trying to pay house insurance online, and I thought something was broken because on Firefox, it just would not let me do that. And ironically, I went to Opera, which sits over there, and I rarely ever go there, and boom, it went right through. Everything looked great and worked great.
Now, ServiceNow, the ticket system at USC, can't work in Firefox for me. It takes forever.
Really?
Safari, it's just super fast. And it's like, okay, well, I know
there's a bug. Is it possibly because so many people are using that?
No, it had nothing to do with the number of users. There's just something in Firefox that's not working with ServiceNow, at least as how USC is implementing it. Or it could be that one of my filters is blocking it.
Could it have anything to do with, for example, on Firefox, because it is my main, it's the norm for me to have about 40 tabs open in Firefox.
Slacker.
Okay.
I am terrified to sit down in his computer because I know I'm going to end up closing some. And what amazes me is he knows all 40 of those. Oh, yeah. He knows what's there. And when one's missing... Yeah. What happened? Why did that go missing? Real quick, 847 area code says, Patrick, why is Facebook encrypting their messaging?
It's a fantastic idea because it really makes sure that only the person who sent the email and the person who receives it can open it and view it. There is no man in the middle that can open an encrypted message. So it is a very secure message. Is it necessary for the cat pictures that you're sending to people on Google Messenger? Absolutely not, but it's just extra protection.
Okay, so relax. Don't.
It's good.
But that's also a reason to think about using proton.mail for some of your email, because that's automatically encrypted.
But again, some people hear that and they think it's going to make their job on this end more difficult, and it doesn't. It just
it's transparent.
I'm just trying to think of how many email accounts.
Oh, stop!
Good Lord.
Okay. Patrick Crispin is with us, and we've got some questions coming in. We got a lot of ground to cover with him here on WGM.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. They don't write them like that anymore. That's AC/DC in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. Yes, love that. What'd you think, Joseph?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. He was even using his AC/DC voice.
No.
Oh, my. Patrick Crispin is with us talking tech as we do a couple times a month. We got a lot to talk about, too, Patrick. Where do we go from here?
There was some recent action that happened in Congress where they actually made a really good positive step about protecting children online. They also kind of stepped on a rake. Earlier this week, the United States Senate passed two laws. One of them was the Kids Online Safety and Privacy Act, called COSA. The other one is the Children and Teens Online Privacy Protection Act, which is called COPA 2. It's an update from an original law that was written back in 2000. And both passed the Senate 91-3 and got killed in the House. And I kind of actually support it being killed in the House. And I can't believe I'm saying that because we all know children have been harmed on the internet.
Yeah.
There's just bad stuff on the internet. And I kind of like the Children and Teens Online Privacy Act Protection Act, COPA 2, because it extended the act that was originally passed in 2000 and said, okay, that was for 16-year-olds, but we know kids are on the internet. Let's back this thing up to 13. Anybody 13 or older, this thing's going to be covered. Yeah. So, yeah, that absolutely is important. It said to anybody online that if you're collecting data about children, you can only retain it for the use that you need it immediately. You got to delete it. You can't keep information about children. Just you can't do it. And you have to be explicit about why you're collecting that data. And when you're done with it, and there has to be a real reason for you to have it, you got to get rid of it. I'm in favor of this. Perfect.
Yeah.
Any third parties to whom a child's information is disclosed must have reasonable procedures in place to protect the privacy. So third-party security, amen, all for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies to websites and online services operated for commercial purposes that are either directed towards children or, and this is where the key thing is, they know there are children there. Mm-hmm. If you know that there are children 13 and under, or 16 and under in this case, You got to protect yourself. And this all came after Facebook got called out because they weren't protecting children. They got called in front of the Congress. So the Children and Teens Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA 2, amen. I hope the House brings this back. COSA, which is the Kids Online Safety and Privacy Act, sounds like a really great idea. And I think if you take a second and say, wow, this is great, it makes sense, but take a step back. See, COSA requires social media to change the design of how they operate to opt out of algorithmically based recommendation systems for children. In other words, if you're a child and you go to a web page, you just get the content. There's nothing going to be automatically saying, oh, well, we see that you like monster trucks. Here's a whole bunch of monster trucks things. Or, oh, we see you like the socks. Here's everything you need to know about the socks. It's just going to give you a straight feed.
Oh.
Which is, okay, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It limits communication with minors. Again, I like this. It's so far, so good. This right. sounds mm-hmm. really good.
Right.
Restricts public access to minors' personal data. Again, touchdown, all for this. And requires better parental controls. Here's where the problem falls apart. It requires duty of care on internet platforms to mitigate certain harms associated with mental health. These are things like anxiety, depression, eating disorders, drug abuse, gambling, tobacco, alcohol use by minors. Here's why that sounds good, but if you stop and think about it, first of all those problems existed before the internet. There's nothing new about it.
Right.
And this is not going to say that the companies can't do this. It's going to say that the Federal Trade Commission can go after companies who are pushing this information online or don't filter or block this information. Federal Trade Commission, the majority of it is appointed by the President of the United States, which means whoever's the President of the United States could then say, I'm not going to allow Facebook to allow anything that talks about anything with trans rights.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because again, it right. could potentially harm children.
Right.
And do you see kind of where
mental health is a good
mental
example.
Mental health. I
eating disorders.
I can't believe that I'm quoting Rand Paul. I disagree with him on a lot of things, but Rand Paul actually wrote this, and this is a quote: should platforms stop children from seeing climate-related news because climate change is one of the leading sources of anxiety among younger generations? Should it stop children from seeing coverage of international conflicts because it could lead to depression? Should pro-life groups have their content censored because platforms worry that it could impact the mental well-being of teenage mothers? This bill opens the door to nearly limitless content regulation by political appointees.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows states and the Federal Trade Commission to go after anything that they say, well, you know, you have to have a duty of care to protect the children. And what about the kids? And it's like, well, I don't like this. So you're hurting the children.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
it's a bad law.
How would you propose, Senator Crisman, a version that would take the politics out of this?
Take it away from the FTC.
You take it away from the FTC, and it has to be an independent commission. I think it's got to be out of political control, and you can't allow the states to do this either, because, again, you don't want to have one set of rules. There's one internet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have the internet that is Florida is saying you can't do this, and you've got California saying you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
The textbook companies solved that issue by coming up with different textbooks. You can't come up with a different internet. There's the internet.
Yeah.
So
on the face, it looks like a good thing, but when you really think about it,
once you get into this, it's like the first parts of this are like really, really great. And then when you say, wait a minute, you've got to make sure that you're doing a duty of care to make sure there's nothing on your site that could mentally harm children.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, but who defines
who's that? Who's deciding that?
And it's the answer is political appointees of whoever the president is. It's like danger, danger, danger.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, fortunately, and this is where kind of interesting, the House Republican leadership, once they got this, they said, no, this thing's dead on arrival. Their quotes were, "We heard concerns across our conference, and the Senate bill cannot be brought up in its current form." So those two laws were passed.
Pleasantly surprised that they would do that.
The House has killed it. I got to be honest. I think COPPA II, which is the idea of, you know, hey, let's lower the age protection.
Age to 13.
To 13 and protection of children's data, I think that's going to pass.
Yeah.
I think the Kids Online Safety and Privacy Act, if you can get rid of the duty of care stuff or have an independent commission, it makes sense. But I'm not sure I want politicians deciding that.
I'm glad you brought that up tonight, because that's a part of it that I think when you first glance at it, my thought was, gee, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking like Rand Paul, maybe not so much.
The quote, "The devil is in the details," comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It's computer rock. That's the computer. That's Beck, okay. And that's computer rock.
Bless his heart. Oh, Beck.
We're talking computer stuff with Patrick Crispin. Best way people should contact you is what?
You can find me on Threads. I'm Patrick Crispin, and that's where I post most of my public stuff is now on Threads.
Okay.
And I think we're going to be talking about COSA more in the future.
Yes.
Texter from 312 says, COSA has bipartisan support. It's Meta and others that just don't want to be held accountable for their platforms and have lots of lobbyists that are fighting it. COSA is important. Kids are dying from social media harms.
I agree that they are. I just think that having politicians decide what is considered to be psychological harm for children, I'd much rather have psychologists or psychiatrists do it. Put the APA in charge of it, the American Psychological Association, and let them make the determination. But having some politician who, you know, in state government can say, I've decided that any talk about Auburn University football team is harmful to the youth of this state. Roll Tide, and I would support that. is, you know, we're going to ban it, and you know, I don't. We're getting examples that are extreme, but you can see the things that can happen where some legislature could sit there and say, you know, or an attorney general could sit there and say, I'm going to go after you because I just don't like your politics.
So fine-tune it. Take it away from the FTC. Yeah.
Take the politics away from the state's attorney general.
Take the politics out of it. Okay.
And I'm sure I'm going to make some people unhappy, but as an example, I don't want Governor Ron DeSantis deciding what my grandson can see online.
Yeah.
And alternatively, I think there are a lot of people who wouldn't want the governor of California.
Sure.
Yeah.
To be able to determine what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Either way. So if there is a way, in a perfect world, if there's a way to take the politics out of it, fine.
Because we all agree that there is a lot of bad stuff out there that is very harmful to kids. Absolutely. Oftentimes when you're on the show, we end up talking about scams that are out there. I don't know if there's anything we can do about this other than mention the email from a listener named Laura from a 630 area code. She turned her email over to her local police department. They, in turn, had never seen anything like this. They've apparently turned it over to the FBI. She said one of the things that got her attention was the fact that there were no typos. Grammatically, it was right. And oh boy, does it get your attention. And the email starts out with, I know that, and it's a string of numbers, is one of your cards. And sure enough, 6 of the 10 numbers of one of her credit cards is right there in front of her. And they go on in a very threatening manner to write about, I'm going to cut to the chase. You don't know anything about me, whereas I know a lot about you. And you must be thinking, why are you getting this email? Right now, I'm thinking, if it comes to me, I've got this sick feeling.
Right.
I know this is not good. So this person goes on to threaten her and wants money, wants to be paid, right?
And it's a known scam. We haven't seen something this detailed, but remember, now that artificial intelligence is now in the hands of everybody, creating very well-crafted messages can be turned over to anybody with a computer. So the days of typo-laden mm-hmm. scam messages, I think, are behind us.
Because this is laid out beautifully,
this
too.
This is laid out beautifully. This is, it looks fantastic.
You know, what have I done? Question mark, that paragraph. What can you do? Question mark, paragraph.
Yep.
Alternatives and other options. I mean, it's really sophisticated.
The thing is, there are very known scams like this. What happened here is it looks like Discover has been hacked. It, probably a known hack where credit card information was released.
Oh.
The scammers bought
that was
this
her credit card.
Contacted mm-hmm. her and says, hey, look at all this information I know about you. Yeah. Give me some extra stuff here. Or you might have a better example of this is your cell phone, your Apple iPhone might be stolen and taken to China, and somebody in China is sending you text messages saying, unless you turn off, find my iPhone, I'm going to release all your personal information. They don't have your personal information. They're just trying to scare you. It's a known scam. There is a Reddit forum. I highly recommend you go check out reddit.com/r/scams. That's reddit.com/r/scams. There's a wiki that shows some of the known scams out there. This is one of the newer ones I haven't seen, but it's very similar to the we have your personal information and mm-hmm. you need to shake us down. What Laura did was perfect. Contact the police. The police are going to contact the FBI. They're going to track down. Under no circumstances do you engage with these people. Under no circumstances do you send anybody Bitcoin or any sort of payments.
Don't answer them. Don't say, I know that you're trying to scam me.
You do not push back on this. You mm-hmm. just sit there and say, my tax dollars are paying for law enforcement. Here you go, law enforcement. Yeah.
In fact,
the key takeaway is do not engage.
Do not engage.
Go to law enforcement, period.
And you don't say, I'm going to call the police.
No.
I've never understood the people who do that, by the way. No. It's like, I'm going to call the police. It's like, you have a phone.
And she said, two days later, she had not sent any money. She had not responded. She got another email from them. She did not open it. And she sent that on to the police as well as to the credit card company to make them aware that this was because they're mentioned throughout the email.
Yep.
That's really, really. Laura, I've got to tell you, when I read your email, I got queasy. It just, and I wanted to take a moment because it's been going around Facebook, this how to tell if it is a scam. Look at the address and the font that is used. And it seems so simple, but they use Citibank as an example.
The examples we saw earlier this week, it's literally if you spell Citibank, but you take one letter in the spelling of Citibank and the font is different, that indicates that it is a scam.
Typically, it's the A, the letter A, right, that they're talking about.
And this is what's called a homograph attack. And what ends up happening is attackers could replace certain letters in legitimate web addresses with visually similar characters from other languages. And it turns out that there are many characters look alike, but are different from language to language. So the Latin letter A and the Cyrillic letter, what looks like letter A, are two completely different things, but they look like letter A. Same thing happens for C, E, O, P, X, Y. These are very common letters that show up. And by the way, in Cyrillic, the Z, which is the three backwards, actually, number three. It looks like number three. And she, which is number four, and B, which is number six, or looked like number six, are also very common. Now, here's the thing. When you go and copy and paste that link into your web browser, all modern web browsers are smart enough now to sit there and say, you know, you thought that was Citibank, but it turns out that the C here is Cyrillic. And the A is Cyrillic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you get there. Mm-hmm. So almost all modern web browsers nowadays, even though you might have a message in there in Facebook that is using these sort of homographic attacks, you don't have to worry about it because your web browser is going to prevent you from going to those pages. So you don't even have to really be on the lookout for it. Just be aware. This was a known issue years ago, but mm-hmm. most modern web browsers fix this.
But we know that everything goes around, comes around on the internet. I mean, I still see these things. I say, wait a minute, that was 7 years ago we were talking about this, and now it's back again.
And as we've talked before, not the worst idea to A, never click on links. B, if you get something from your bank, call your bank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just type in the web page yourself. Don't rely on that. It's like, if I get something from my bank, it's like, okay, I know that I bank with Citibank. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to citi.com. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, not have to worry about clicking on a link. I know what the web page is. Or if they say, oh, you need to contact your bank, I'm going to open up my wallet, pull out my credit card, turn it over. Right. There's the number. I'm going to call that number.
Well, I came and said to you the other morning, I'm really concerned I can't get to our bank. Yep. Because as I was trying to access the site, I was getting a 52 something or other popping up, and I would get there and it would immediately go, and your first thing was, I hope your bank hasn't been hacked. And then you realize you have the same bank, and you went,
We're both using that bank. So I connect, and I was able to connect to the bank. So it looks like they had a bad gateway.
Yeah. In other words, they had it was August 1st. And
server issue for a couple minutes that affected everybody. And then,
but that's a sick feeling, because you're thinking it's the...
Especially because, as you said, it was the first of the month. And how many people are doing all these first of the month
you're trying to
payments
pay your mortgage. You want to see if your paycheck went in. And all of a sudden, you just keep getting this message. And my first thought was, the reason I ran down to Patrick, who's staying downstairs, I said, is it something on our end? And it turned out that was actually on their end, and it had nothing to do with the user.
Yep.
But it was scary. And we have to remember too, when we talk about some of the scams and we say, well, it's been around forever, you know, people are sitting at home, they're alone. And
it is the most important piece of advice we can leave people with. When you get whatever the scam is, pause.
Yep.
Take a breath. Do not react emotionally quickly. Just pause.
Don't have a mental breakdown while you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Because most of the scammers are hoping that you will react quickly and say, oh, I got to click on this.
And there you go. Well, there's so many other things that we could talk about. Real quick, with the men that we have left, do you have any advice for folks on Facebook who use Facebook for legitimate reasons, like to say, tonight I'm going to be performing, and Facebook decides, some algorithm says, no, this is wrong, we're going to take it down?
This happened to our friends from River Road Trio
just today.
There's not much you can do. You can try to appeal the takedown, but by the time you do,
your gig is over with. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the world we live when it's going to be algorithmically determined. It's not some human being determining, I don't like this band.
It's something.
There's some sort of computer program that was written by somebody that says, I'm going to flip this flag and say no. And, you know, these algorithmic determinations happen all the time. I'm taking it back to Joseph, who's sitting next to me. We submitted a Pokestop in mm-hmm. Pokemon Go. It would be a perfect Pokestop, and it was, for some reason or other, the algorithm said, nope, we don't want to take that.
And don't like it.
Okay, fine.
And the bottom line is, whether it's Facebook or whoever, it's their ballpark. You're playing by their rules.
Absolutely.
If you don't want that, then don't play in that ballpark.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
This has been fun.
Yeah.
Joseph, you want to say goodnight to everybody?
Whoops. Yeah, move the microphone.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for coming to see us.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. All I've got is a photograph. Hopefully it is a good photograph. And to help you get those good photographs, we're joined once again by our friend Will Byington, the rock star photographer of rock stars based in Chicago. And I think, did you just get back off another tour, or where have you been?
So I've been here most of the summer. It's been crazy. It's a, you know, summer's when we want to be in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I did. I'm still doing a bunch of the phonography classes, teaching travel agents how to take better pictures
of
their phones.
What a great gig
for ALG Vacations, the old Apple Vacations, Apple Leisure Group. So I was down in Punta Cana last week. So I did some classes down there for them. Next week I go to the west coast of Mexico for them, Mazatlan, I think
really?
It is, Mexico.
Yeah,
and same thing, teaching their travel agents how to take better photos with their phones.
Do they?
For Apple
do you have like classes where they come together in a conference room, or how does this
exactly,
work?
Exactly. So it's I've created, you know, and we've talked about it before, and I've got the ones I do for the general public, for anybody at the shotclubphotoclass.com. It's basically the exact same. I do customize it for any client. So for the travel agents, I customize it a little more to resorts and travel type stuff. Mm-hmm. But what they do is, so we'll do about an hour and a half in a classroom, basically setting, in a conference room. And then the whole idea is they're at the resort. So we'll be at the pool, at the bar, at the restaurant, at dinner that night, just showing how to take better photos with your phone.
And working with the different lighting. And
exactly. The whole idea is all these travel agents, and it's brilliant on Apple Leisure Group and ALG Vacations on their part having me come in, because they started realizing that all these travel agents, all their advisors, travel advisors, were going to these resorts and coming back with decent or okay photos because they all use their phone. The best camera is the camera you have with you, which 90% of the time is your phone.
Right.
And so they started doing all these classes, and they found that after my class, 40 to 50%, they're getting better photos. And I used to kind of take that personally and be like, well, I want it to be 100%. But when you realize, you know, most of the classes are 100 people, and if 40%, 50% of the time they're taking these better photos, it really adds up.
And so
really
what would they do? Like have them on their website? So if a client wants to know something about that particular resort, they've got recent photos available.
Exactly. But not just that. And the reason I offer the Shot Club photo class for anyone is social media. Everybody wants to impress people. Everybody wants to share where they've been, what they're doing. And everybody is on social media.
Speaking of that, blatant plug, if you are on social media, Facebook specifically, look up Will Byington, that's WILLBYINGTON, and Will is doing a Facebook Live right now, so you can see a wave at the camera, Will. And so you
excellent.
Can
try it out.
Just do a search for Will Byington on Facebook.
That's fun. Yeah.
Did you get over to Lollapalooza?
I did not this year. I photographed it for about 14 years, off and on, over the years where it's been here in Chicago, for another station. I won't name the station on, you know, competition. But I photographed it for a rock station here for years. Mm-hmm. And
is that crazy?
It is crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy. And but I'll say, the years I did it, I would say I was lucky. And this
you
is
were
where
younger.
I was younger, but I also, the lineups were more diverse. And the history of Lollapalooza has always had a very diverse lineup, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. And the cool thing is I was able to see Lou Reed one year out there, Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is you were able to see legacy acts like that, The Cure, right. Paul McCartney. At Lollapalooza,
it just
really
have a much
like the lineup is
a much wider demographic than it does now.
100%, 100%, and so I look at the lineup now, and this is where I do feel like get off my lawn, kids. I know like 8 bands on the lineup,
and there's like 100
out of 140, I think.
Yeah.
But I'll say this: I have a lot of friends who are out there photographing it all weekend. And their photos are incredible. And the shows are still incredible. Chapel Roan, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is the one.
In fact, we're going to play something by her a little later.
Yeah.
That she blew it up. And that's the really cool thing about Lollapalooza and the bands they bring in is to bring someone like that who has just exploded in the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
2 to 3 years, if that even. It's really neat. And I saw some amazing. What I always liked about photographing it was really cool to see someone that I loved, even Amy Winehouse. I saw her, her last year there. But Mumford and Sons back in the day. And like I said, people like Chris Stapleton even played 1 year, I believe. But what was fun is then you would go see Kanye West or go see Miley Cyrus. And that's what I hate that it doesn't have that as much anymore because it was really unique to go. And the legacy of it is when it started, it was you would go see Public Enemy and the Smashing Pumpkins and Yo La Tango. And then you'd go see, you know, just all across the board, rap, hip hop, rock. And I think it's lost some of that. And that's sad to me.
But if you look at the crowd, the drone shots of the crowd...
That's a huge crowd.
Oh, yeah. They're doing just fine.
In a weird way, early Lollapalooza was a lot like Top 40 Radio used to be, where you had this wide variety of acts, and you like something, but you're exposed to something else, and that's not a bad thing, as opposed to now it's becoming much more narrow casting.
Yeah, a lot of DJs and whatnot. But what is neat is it still exposes people to good music. Mm-hmm. It still opens up. And
it's still good for the city.
It's still great for the city. And as a photographer, being out there, and the one of the reasons I stopped shooting it is when you photograph, for example, if you're official, you get in the photo pit for three songs. And I think we talked about this one of my last visits, the three-song rule, whereas an official photographer, you can shoot from up front, leaning against the stage, and it's awesome for three songs. But then you're escorted out. And one thing I found the years I shot Lollapalooza, there were so many times I missed the bands I really wanted to see because and work. You know, work always gets in the way of fun. But I started finding I could use my iPhone or a point-and-shoot, a small camera, enjoy the shows I wanted to see, and still take some fun shots.
And you weren't carrying all the equipment with you.
We're carrying pounds and pounds of gear. And now with iPhones, and it's one thing, again, I teach in my class and everything, the beauty of iPhones and Androids and Pixels is you really can get some great shots, and you're able to watch the entire show. Yeah. And as a fan of music and a fan who's crying about Aerosmith, heard y'all talk about that earlier.
As a matter of fact, let me pause you on that for a second. Did you ever photograph or meet any of the members of Aerosmith?
I never met them, but I did photograph them from the crowd, again, with a point and shoot and whatnot, at New Orleans Jazz Fest. I saw them play there, and it was
That was an interesting choice at Jazz Fest to have Steven Tyler. And
that's the beauty. That's why I stand by and say New Orleans Jazz Fest is one of the best festivals in this country.
Yep.
Because
it's on my bucket list.
It has. It's an incredible. The best thing about it, again, this is, I just turned 46 a week ago.
You're a kid.
The day after your birthday, I believe. New Orleans Jazz Fest, one, the variety of music is absolutely incredible. You can see Aerosmith to Buddy Guy, Bonnie Raitt to Pitbull or Flo Rida to Dave Matthews and on and on and on. Rolling Stones play there this year. But the other beauty is the headliners play at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So as I was coming in here tonight, kids were still streaming out of Lala downtown. It's all day. You're just exhausted after. Whereas at Jazz Fest, it starts about 11 a.m. The headliner plays at 5:30, is done by 7. And then the cool thing, and what I love about that, is it's also a great way because it fully encourages you to go out in New Orleans.
Enjoy the town.
It encourages you to go to dinner. It encourages you to go to a nightclub or a night show. And there's all kinds of shows in New Orleans. And you can keep the party going.
Yeah.
But you actually do get to experience the city, as opposed to my friends who are all at, some friends are at the Metro tonight. And the show started at 11 o'clock midnight. They were all like, what are we doing to ourselves?
Will Byington is our guest. Check out shotclubphotoclass.com. Go to Facebook and go to his page at Will Byington. And you can also link to him from our Facebook page, right, I guess it would be right under our pictures. Speaking of pictures, on our trip to work tonight. Stay with us. We'll be back with Will here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking about Kodachrome or photographs with Will Byington, rock star photographer of the rock stars. Well, one of the things I was thinking about, one of the lyrics of that song, where you get all the nice colors. We periodically hear from people who are having problems getting true colors with their cell phones. Different cell phones, you can take a picture of the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A different cell phone will give you a different color intensity.
I maintain that if you're doing a side-by-side comparison, the Samsung is better than the iPhone.
Yeah, well, and we've done that. And that's not just saying but you might Android. Say, but the point is, how do you, with whatever you've got, how do you make sure you're getting as close as possible to the natural color? Because I assume if you get the natural color, you can highlight things after that. You kind of want to start with the basics and make sure that's good. What do you do?
So a lot of that's in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, potato, tomato, you know, potato, oranges, apples. You know, some people love the way iPhones, they do process the photo more.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a setting you can turn in your settings. You can turn off some of that. There's an HDR, high dynamic range setting that it kind of, they kind of automatically say how they think your photo should
mm-hmm.
look.
Right.
And some of that you can turn off. Some of it is truly just how you take it. You can shoot raw, and we talked about that before. What a JPEG is when you shoot, whether it's with a camera or your phone, a JPEG is a processed photo, and it's kind of already developed.
Mm-hmm.
The raw is like your negative, and it's unedited. I don't really recommend people shooting raw on their phones because those files end up being, if a regular photo is 6, 8, 10 megabytes, the raw file is 40 megabytes, and all of a sudden you fill up your phone even faster than you do normally. But raw is unprocessed, so then you go in and you can edit it. And
interesting that turning off the processing takes up less space.
Well, yeah, and that is the kind of crazy thing. Turning the raw file is bigger, so if you turn off the processing, it's you just get an unprocessed file,
right?
And it's massive, and so. But a lot of that you could do that. There are, like I said, you can play with your settings, turning off the HDR, turning off some of that. But what I always tell people is a lot of it is there's a great app, a free app called Snapseed that is available for both iPhone and Android. And if it's overprocessed, you can always kind of dial it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of apps you can really play with.
But you taught us something way back in the winter when we were doing this, and that was when you have your phone focused on something, you've got that little dot in the middle. Tap it.
Yeah.
And then you got a slider under that. You'll be amazed at the number of people who don't know that if you slide that to the left, your washed-out picture now suddenly is going to be more vibrant, more intense.
Boy, does that make a difference.
100%.
Yeah.
And so that's a great example. You know, in your Facebook post, you mentioned photographing bands at Lollapalooza, for example, or anywhere. If you're at Ravinia, if you're at Park West, or anywhere, Chicago Symphony Orchestra in Grant Park. If you're photographing anyone under a spotlight, for example, or it is washed out, you're exactly right. Tap the screen.
It.
The fun thing is that first tap is actually nothing to do with exposure. The first tap is to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's fun is you can tap around the screen to focus on whatever you want to focus on. So if you're focusing on a kid or a dog's face, tap to focus. But then you're exactly right. And if somebody's like a speaker on stage or a presenter or a musician, that second tap is there is on the iPhone, it's a sunshine icon that's on the right side, and it goes up or down. On the Androids and Pixels and stuff, it's usually below.
Left and right.
And what you do is left or right. But you can change that exposure. And if you tap and hold it, what's really cool is when you hold it, it'll lock it. And so then when you dial it in and you get it where you really like it, you get it where it's really exposed, right? The cool thing is you can shoot away tapping that shutter button.
You anticipated just what I was going to ask.
And it won't reset.
So you don't have to go back each time. You can say, you hold it.
And it'll pop up and it'll say AEAF, auto exposure, auto focus, lock. So if you tap and hold and then dial it in, and dial in that exposure by moving up or down or right or left, it'll stay locked in. So that's a great thing if you're shooting fireworks, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you know where they are, you know where they're going to focus, and you know where the light is. So you can dial it down, and it'll lock it.
Okay. It's the next morning. You're photographing the sunrise. Is it still locked on that? Do you have to unlock it?
It only locks for a few seconds. Basically, the next time I think you tap the screen, other than the shutter button, it'll actually pop off that lock. Okay. So no, it doesn't even lock that long. I see you playing with it.
Well,
phone in your hand.
I've seen that lock every time I take a picture, and I didn't know I could hold it and it would actually lock it. Yeah. Because I find myself when I'm doing fireworks out the window here at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I'm always going back to reset it, so I can just lock it in.
Lock it and then dial in the exposure on your phone.
Oh, that's cool.
You have the Samsung Note.
It's the 22 Ultra.
Samsung Ultra 22.
Yeah.
So what you do is lock that in, and then you can dial it. But the next time you tap the screen, it'll unlock, and you can go back to whatever you're shooting.
That's so cool.
I'm going to let you work on locking it. Go to facebook.com/WillByington.
How do you spell Byington? It's like Wojohowitz. You spell it the way
X
it sounds.
The X is silent.
You spell it the way it sounds. Yeah. B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N. we're also taking text and questions for Will at 312-981-7200. And I need to repeat shotclubphoto.com. Shotclubphotoclass.com. Yep. Yes, I've got it right here in front of me. Forgive me. We got so many things to cover. Yep. Listener texted and said, what is HEIC on an iPhone, and why sometimes can I open it as I want to copy or paste a photo? Simple as that. I've never seen HEIC, so it's an iPhone thing.
It's an iPhone thing. It's a new format that they've come up with, kind of like the RAW idea. It's supposedly to save space on your phone, so you can take more photos. It supposedly is a way to enhance your photos. And again, that's where some people don't like the way iPhone enhances and does it. But it's mainly a format. A lot of times I think you can email it to yourself and it may come through as a JPEG. It might come through still as a HEIC format. A lot of times what I recommend is there's a great app, like I mentioned just a minute ago, actually, Snapseed. I don't think it's even .com, but it's in the App Store on Android and iPhone. Snapseed. It's put out actually by Google. And with Snapseed, you can export it as a JPEG. Mm-hmm. So you could open that photo. But I do believe when you text it, you can text the HEIC. You can copy them. You should be able to copy and paste still, but it's a lot of times, sometimes people will do that where they'll email it to themselves or upload it to like Dropbox. But you can export it, and Snapseed is a great app for editing and being able to export and create a JPEG out of that same file.
I love the fact when you go to Snapseed, they have a beginner's guide, so you can really learn, and just quickly glancing at it, I love the examples they give at how you can enhance your photos.
So it's a free app. It actually used to be $8. And I would tell people all the time it's worth it. It's now free. Google bought it, and amazingly enough, they've only made it better. It's a great app. It's easy to get overwhelmed with it because there's a lot you can do. It is a free version of Photoshop for your phone where you can really edit and enhance and change the look and feel of your photo easily. And to the point where we were talking earlier about whether you like the way an Android picture or an iPhone picture looks, you can make it look vintage. It's got all kinds of photo and film looks and presets right there in Snapseed. So you can really make it look like a Polaroid photo from the 80s. You can make
that.
It look black and white.
Yeah.
You can really do some cool edits. And what I tell people is don't get overwhelmed with it, because there's 100 different edits you can do and ways to go with it. just play with it. When you're sitting on the L riding to work in the morning.
Or in jury duty.
When you're in jury duty, just play with it. Because you can really, you're never going to break it. You're never going to mess up your photo. And you can really do some cool edits. There's a selective adjust in there, for example, where if for example, if the two of you had your photo together and Johnny's kind of just behind you and maybe there's a shadow on the face, you can actually lighten up the face with that selective adjust. And it's a really powerful tool that's 100% free, and I guarantee you will make your photos better.
Can I suggest one other thing that I do in editing, and we have Samsung Android phones. Whenever I am editing something, I always do save as copy. And I know that you can, if you edit something, you can revert. But sometimes I want to try a lot of different stuff. So I will take the picture of Will, and I will do one save as copy, and then I'll edit something else and do save as copy. So I've got the original and everything else that I'm editing.
Yeah, and I recommend that. I the beauty of an iPhone and Android is you can always revert back. And that's the other reason I tell people to play with the editing, because you can't, like I said, you can't break it. You can't, you can always go into edit, and there's a little button that says revert to original.
Right.
So you can always go back to where you started. But I do like, I will end up, and some people don't like this, but I love it, that I will end up sometimes with six versions of one photo, because I'll have that photo in color, I'll have that photo in black and white. I'll have that photo cropped close. I'll have that photo maybe wide. And I really, what I love about that is you can really change the look and feel of a photo.
And there's another thing. And
do some fun stuff.
I don't know if iPhone offers this or not, but on the phones we're using, there is now a thing where if you've got a, like if I'm cropping a small picture of you, but I want just your face, before I save it, it says, do you want us to increase the resolution on it? Yeah. So it, I don't know if it's adding pixels or what it's doing, but it takes that, what could be a little kind of a faded thing, and it makes it more brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, is there something like that on iPhones, too?
I don't know if it really does that. And that gets into a little bit of the AI talk. We were, we were talking off the air about artificial intelligence and where it's going. I definitely say there's an app called Facetune, for example. Facetune, T-U-N-E.
Okay.
That I actually think is the devil. But it's also amazing.
Facetune.
Because everyone needs just a little bit. You know, all of us want our teeth a little whiter. All of us want a few less wrinkles. All of us want the reflections in our glasses sometimes removed. But Facetune can do all of that. The comment that I make, whether it's what you're talking about with enhancing the photos, whenever you edit a photo of a person, and we all know the stories with magazines and cover photos where they go too far.
Right.
Facetune's the same thing. And what I say, even with any photo edit just about, is when you get it to where you love it, when you get it to where you go, this looks amazing, I love it, oh my goodness, I never looked better. Dial it back 25%, because chances are you've gone too far.
And we take a look at it the next morning.
And we all have that friend, we've all seen it on social media, where you go, they've got a few more wrinkles than that.
Yeah.
Their teeth aren't that white. They're, you know, again, I live in Chicago and I love Chicago pizza. So, you know, I like to trim myself up a little bit every now and then too. But with that being said, when you get it, when you start looking like Barbie and Ken, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
And so dial it back. And I just say that with all edits. The other fun thing is, so there's two things that you can do now with artificial intelligence that is great. One of which is you can change the clouds. So if you have a cloudy day, you can actually put a blue sky in and put clouds in.
Wow.
You can really do that. You can also remove people. And you can remove objects and people. And if you have an iPhone, it's not built in totally to do that, but there's apps like Snapseed that do it. But also, if you have the Google Photos app, Google Photos has it built in. It accesses your photo library, and you can easily use that magic eraser. And it's awesome.
It's fun.
It is fun. It's amazing to remove stuff. But what I tell people is, again, once you do it selectively. I also say, I also have a wheelhouse where, and a soapbox that if you're shooting for press or you're shooting a historical event,
yes,
don't do it.
Don't monkey
don't
with edit, it.
Yeah. Don't change anything. Yep. Mm-hmm. But if you're creating art, and everybody should create art, it's what we're made to do is create. Mm-hmm. So have fun. Play with it. Play with the sky. Play with the clouds. Play with removing the annoying person that was behind you in the photo.
Your ex.
The water bottle, the ex. Play with whatever you want. Create. And yeah, you can really do some cool things nowadays.
There's also a couple of AI things that I've become familiar with, and they're absolutely addictive. One is Smile, and the other one is the new Meta AI, Imagine Me, where you put your selfie in wherever you want you to be. And with Smile, you can become a nun, for example. You can become a showgirl. I gave you guys an
which
example.
Which was the one that you used when you were on jury duty?
From the 1800s. I wanted to be a pioneer woman with great hair. That's all I asked for. And it takes your picture, and I mean, it is fun. Little scary, because I can see somebody saying, this is me when I was a nun. It looks legit, yeah, you know? But the Meta thing is called Imagine Me, which you can do through Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and you type in Imagine Me, and it gives you the option of how you want to be imagined.
And the crazy thing, the thing that scares me about all of it, and this is where we need Patrick back,
yeah,
Patrick Crispin, because he knows. I was amazed when y'all were talking about the number of browsers and windows, mm-hmm, and things he blocks. Like, yeah, how do you even see anything? It is kind of frightening, and again, I love where technology is, and I embrace it. I do embrace editing. I love to edit. I love to play with my photos and create new stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you should always be creating. The interesting thing, though, is that part. And people have been using AI. There was a shot of the Pope in a fluffy coat.
Yes. You know,
yes.
A winter coat, fluffy coat.
But he had six fingers.
But the amazing thing is all you have to do is crop the hand out, for example. Yeah. You don't see that. And I do worry about a future where people never know what is real and what isn't.
Exactly.
And it is funny. You know, it is funny now. Again, think of, we used to go to 7-Eleven or Kink, the 1 hour photo, mm-hmm, and you'd get back your 36 mm-hmm exposure roll, yeah, of film. And you'd have those outtakes of the candid moments of,
yep,
of grandma hitting your,
right,
you know, sibling or whatnot. And now people are so selective that they only print, and they a lot of times delete the pictures that, yeah, are in their roll. I always say don't delete, because you never know what you have.
Boy, are you singing my song.
And mm-hmm, and secondly, I do worry a little bit about when you know, you could create a picture of you. It's funny to say you were a nun in, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, 1963, but are we going to get to a point where you just truly can't trust,
yeah,
a photo, yeah, you see?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I'm torn, because I really, like I said, create. And with the travel agents for the Apple Leisure Group and the travel agents there, I tell them, don't put like a sunset at a dock where it faces north, you know, or something, mm-hmm, like that. Don't remove a dock or a light. You know, if there's a light pole that blocks a view out of that room, don't remove
that's
that.
That's right, yep, yeah.
Because your client is then going to go and go, oh, I got this room and I requested the exact room because of the view.
Yeah.
And there's a pole there.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful with what you do with AI, yeah, and the editing. But I also really do believe, like I said, create. Have fun with it. And the beauty of everything is you can do everything on your phone.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
We got some more tips coming up for you with Will Byington right here on WGN.
You took from me when we were young and the world was free. Pictures of things as they used to be. Don't show me no more, please.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. That's the Kinks. And mm-hmm, people take pictures. I'm going to do an audible. If you go to facebook.com/Will Byington, you will see that Will is doing Facebook Live. We were talking off the air about something that I know it's possible to do. We don't know how to do it. If you look at Will on Facebook Live, and he's got the WGN microphone in front of him, you will see that it's backwards. How do we get the Facebook Live to be a correct picture,
reflection,
to reverse what you're seeing? Mm-hmm. Like when you see Facebook, Will just raised his left hand. It's actually his right hand. There's a setting on Facebook to do that.
He zoomed in on his... He's leaning over looking at his phone right now. It's fun doing the FaceTime, though. But then we kind of forget it because I ran over to show you something during the break and I looked and I went, oh, wait, we're on FaceTime.
Yeah. No, not FaceTime. This is Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. Excuse me.
So
Facebook Live.
As I said to you, and I know it's probably a very simple setting, and someone probably knows the very easy. I know when you do a selfies, so when you do a selfie with your phone, there's a setting you
yeah,
can
that,
click
that I can
that
do.
Will automatically flip.
But I think
back to
because
normal.
This isn't just your phone, this is Facebook. I think there is some setting in Facebook, I think.
Yeah.
Unless it's a setting you need to do on your phone before the picture gets to Facebook.
I think it's probably something when you set up. So I was telling Steve and Johnny off air that I attended this conference last week. There were a bunch of social media experts, and they were kind of talking about this. And that's one reason I don't do Facebook Lives that often. And the fun thing is we've had about 10, 11, 15 people at any time watching.
Because it's the first time we did this.
It's kind of neat to do it. It's fun to play with. But there is so much. And this goes back to editing. This goes back to when you're filming video. I did a buddy of mine is applying for a great job. And on Thursday, we spent about 2 to 3 hours. My buddy Brian Anderson, we spent about 2 or 3 hours filming a video for him. And the key with all of this, whether you're filming video, whether you're doing photos, whether you're doing Facebook Lives, is just playing with it. And
yeah.
I literally, probably when I started it, there was probably a button I should have hit to say mirror video so that WGN would be normal and all that. But with that being said, it's one of those things you just, it takes just playing with it.
Well, the next time you're on with us, we'll have figured
that's right,
it out.
That's right.
We would have found
this is all a learning process.
We would have found the toolbox where you go to find that little button where you flip.
I'm sure somebody will probably message me even after
toolbox
this is over and say...
Toolbox is the secret,
it's
as I understand.
Thing. Exactly.
Yes.
I want to go back to something you were saying earlier about don't delete pictures. It was just within the past week or so, and I was going through a file on our computer because I keep pictures years. I have year by year by year. And I went to, I don't know, it was something like 2020 or 2000. And I came across a whole bunch of pictures that I'd completely forgotten about. And a lot of them were just what you're talking about, outtakes of an event. And I was so glad to have those. So really, just keep all that stuff.
Because I always say you never know. You never know when, you know, again, unfortunately, so some of the rock and roll cruises I photographed, I did 6 of them this year, for example.
Oh, wow.
6 cruises between January and April for a company called Sixth Man out of Atlanta. And they're amazing. I've now done 166 of them, but I did 6 this spring. We did the Outlaw Country Cruise. Mm. And on the Outlaw Country Cruise this year, unfortunately, the musician Mojo Nixon passed away.
Yeah.
And he literally passed away on the boat. It's been amazing going back through years and years of archives from the 6 to 8, I think it's been 8 or 9 even, Outlaw Country Cruises, and going back through photos. And there were so many, because when I do the boats, for example, every day I'm picking out 200 to 300 shots for the day, and I'm doing it usually at 1 a.m., sometimes after a beverage, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing the selects, and I just go through really quick, and I'm picking out the best shots. And then when you start digging, when unfortunately someone passes, for example, and you start digging, and if you've deleted everything, you don't have that. But it's been amazing and really touching to find certain photos that maybe they didn't make the first round of cuts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, oh my goodness, here's a shot of Mojo with his manager or with another artist, and it's a good shot. You know, maybe it's not a great shot, but then you send that shot to that person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my, thank you. So I really recommend, you know, everybody, we are living in a technology world where the file sizes are getting bigger, the memory cards are filling up faster, the hard drives are getting filled faster. So I get why people delete, but I do recommend if you can, memory cards are also getting cheaper now.
Yep.
So I do recommend if you can, hard drives are getting cheaper.
Thumb drives.
Like, back them up and save if you can, because you really never know.
I'm showing Will my storage used on my phone. You see 99%. 99%, yep. And it's telling me I need to erase pictures. I'm looking at my phone going, I'll clear the cache. I'll do all those other things.
Let me clarify, because some people do say, Will, seriously, there are photos and videos. Yeah. There are photos and videos you can delete.
Screenshots.
There are screenshots. There are photos. And I'm not saying you need to keep every blurry, eyes closed, every shot. Video is something that takes up so much space now. So what I do recommend is if it's a video that you do want to save, put it in Dropbox.
Yeah.
Upload it to YouTube. Upload it to Vimeo. Upload it somewhere, and then you can delete that off. And that'll clear up. It's amazing how quickly just clearing off a couple of video files will open up space on your phone.
You're so right, yeah.
So you don't totally have to keep everything.
But don't get rid of a gem.
But I'm amazed. I always say, also don't do it in a rush.
Yeah.
Like when you're on vacation and you're going, I'm at 99%.
Yeah.
Find a way to do something, because inevitably, without fail, the people who delete and get rid of photos in that rush, I know so many people who've been like, oh my goodness, I didn't mean
to delete. It wasn't perfect,
but. I didn't mean to delete. Yeah. Well, or I didn't mean to delete that.
Yeah.
A great example of what you're talking about, just a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you can see this picture. It's a picture that was taken of the two of us with Les Paul, and it was up at the Pabst Theater in 2008. We never saw this photo. It was on a reel of photos that are whatever he keeps his photos on, that Les's photographer, Chris Lenz, had. And he hadn't deleted it, and it's a wonderful memory.
Because we're unaware of it. That's the beauty of it.
We live in an outtake world.
Yeah.
And it's really neat. And I think that might actually be the photo I was mentioning earlier, where I saw y'all with it.
Okay.
I was like, that's so cool. Y'all
met
Les Paul. And so we really live in that world. So don't delete. Create. Hit up my classes, shotclubphotoclass.com. Also, please find me on Instagram at Will Byington. Will, two L's, B as in boy, Y-I-N-G-T-O-N, Will Byington. Find me on Instagram. And anybody who's listening, if you've got questions, if you just want to learn, I'm all about helping you take better pictures, because we live in a world we need better pictures.
And you're so great to come in here and join us on the radio. And it's a treat. Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you for having
me, as always.
I would say just about all of the pictures that you post that are taken as we're driving to the station, there's no filter, no nothing.
No.
You're just grabbing something as we're coming down the Lakeshore Drive. And
I might tweak the hood of the car out of a picture, cut that out of a picture, because I'm shooting.
But what is still in the picture has not been edited.
No, it hasn't been sweetened, because that was a word that a listener had used. Are you sweetening the picture? And she looked at an example, and it was a fantastic picture of the Chicago River and the boats out here. And we're dealing with all this glass around us, and so it's kind of a challenge to get in that sweet spot where you can take a picture without reflections.
And speaking of pictures that we usually post, memo to whoever it is that's doing the fireworks.
Yeah.
You keep moving the fireworks farther and farther south, so we can't get good pictures anymore.
It was unbelievable.
What's the deal with that?
I think we saw a few little corners tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're playing to, because that's away from Navy Pier.
Or did they want to get it closer to Lollapalooza?
No. They would have gone way down the, don't you think, down the lakefront?
But they were farther down the lake.
Oh, yeah, we don't know how far they were. So, yeah, you're right. But they're aren't they coming off of Navy Pier? Isn't that the whole idea? Fireworks at Navy Pier every Wednesday and
but
Saturday
it's
night?
It's never from the pier. It's always farther south.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you're listening, city, or whomever is responsible for that, move them back to the north. We need to be able to see them from our vantage point so I can take pictures. Because I'm learning how to take pictures of fireworks. Strong message to follow.
Yes. If you want to text us or call us, the number is 312-981-7200. Oh, I should mention, next week, everybody who'd been asking, yes, Tom Appel will be joining us next week, the publisher of Consumer Guide. But a guy that we had on the show, I'm trying to think how many
20 years ago. Probably 20.
And you know him if you're a fan of Lassie. John Provost.
Timmy. He was Timmy.
And he was Lassie's second owner. Because I started Lassie in the... I can't think of his first name. Tommy Reddick.
Yes.
He was the first...
Was he?
I know Reddick was his last name.
Let's see.
Am I giving him a wrong...
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Is it Tommy Reddick?
Oh, okay. When I see him, I remember this kid.
Who didn't do a whole lot. I think he was only in a few movies. I think one of them was a Western.
Computer software engineer.
Really?
That's what Tommy Reddick does today. Yes, an author. He portrayed the character Jeff Miller in the first three seasons of Lassie. Later seen in syndicated reruns with the title Jeff's Collie.
Right.
He also played the young orphan adopted by David Niven in Niven's film titled No Identity for the series Four Star Playhouse. He co-starred with another former child actor, Tony Dow, in a television teen soap opera, Never Too Young, in the mid-60s. I don't remember that. And the song that title with the group, the TR4. In the mid-60s, television teen soap opera Never Too Young and recorded the song by that title, Never Too Young, with their group, the TR4. I was around
then. I've never heard that.
I don't know, the TV show or... Yeah. He... I guess he was born a Reddick, R-E-T-T-I-G. John Provost came after him.
Right.
And
in fact, there was a very emotional episode where... where Lassie was transferred from one owner to the other owner, and I was not a happy camper.
Well, see, I only knew John Provost. He had a really nice career. We're going to talk to him about this next week because he's coming to town for the Wheaton All Night Flea Market the following week. So 2 weeks from tonight will be the All Night Flea
Market.
And
that's a fun thing.
We've
been there. And it's
we've worked it before.
Yeah.
It was great fun. In fact, the last time we were out there, we were there with a couple of child stars. In fact, we'll have to pull out the pictures because we never posted them.
You're right.
Yeah. And my dad was playing security with us.
He was.
Remember? So we got some pictures of him.
But I think we were out there till about 3 in the morning or something like
well,
that.
Well, way back in the very beginning when it used to go all night long, we did stay all night. And that was fun, too, because we got to shop and then meet with listeners and then shop a little bit more. And I think now it ends around 1 in the morning.
Probably.
But in the early days, it went all night long. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're in the final stretch of the Steve and Johnny Show on Saturday night here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and that's Ms. Roan, who knocked everybody out at Lollapalooza.
Yes.
And, that song, it sounds so much like... Tony Basil.
Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Yes.
It's the same concept, the whole cheerleader thing, if you see the video.
And that was what? Late 80s, early 90s?
Well, I think that's what she's all about. She's a very campy, let's go back to 80s, last century music, and it's working for her. I mean, this is Chapel or do you say Chappelle, Roan, the hottest thing at Lollapalooza this week. Unbelievable crowd.
If you have your Saturday Sun Times, take a look at the article about the bodybuilders who were called up at the last minute to be on stage with her.
They thought they were being hired to be, well, to be security, because they're bodybuilders. And one of the bodybuilders is the strongest woman in America, right here in Chicago. And she goes to this bodybuilding gym and was hired. And I don't think they knew that they were going to be with her on... Well, I guess they did, because they started listening to her music.
But they didn't know at first.
Yeah.
But then eventually they were told, yeah, here's what's going on.
Here's
so
your
then
gig.
They started listening to her music, so they were really prepared.
Yeah.
And some really cool photos in the Sun Times.
Yeah, and what a great opportunity, too, because you talk about having the best seats in the house for the hottest show at Lollapalooza. This is the show that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
I have friends that I was wondering why they were getting pink cowboy hats for their kids, because they were going to Lollapalooza with their daughters, and they had to have a pink cowboy hat, because that's the thing you need. It's kind of like going to a Taylor Swift concert. We have to.
Yeah.
What era are you going to go dressed as? And, you know, that particular song is the biggest song for her, and it started this dance craze. If you listen to the lyrics, you go, well, but I'm thinking, wait a minute. It's no worse than Eric Carmen and the Raspberries and Go All the Way.
You know, Love to Love You Baby.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, pick any of a number of songs.
Pillow Talk. Yeah. Oh. Been there, done that before. So, and hers is just really fun and real upbeat, and she's a phenomenon. As somebody said, looking out over the crowd, you realize she could rule the city if she wanted to, because she was so popular.
That's cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Talking about shows that are coming up, and I'm just looking here at the schedule. Tonight was her big night. Or was it last night?
I thought it was Thursday.
It was a Thursday night. Well, see, it's all a blur to me, because I've been busy every day. So.
Feeding the ducks,
yes.
By the way, Julian, an update from Julian Central. Apparently next week we start at 9:30.
That is correct.
Okay. Because next week is one of the weeks when White Sox are going to be on this here radio station.
Oh, great. We've got them as a lead-in.
And the week after.
That's huge.
Hey, I'm a fan of Len and DJ.
I know. Could it be any worse, though?
Give them huge props.
Are there going to be 25 losses by next week?
For surviving the season that they've survived. By the way, at this point, even though I am a Sox fan, I hope they lose tomorrow. I mean, go for 20 at this point. Why not?
Yeah, do something that no other team has ever done. I mean, literally, 20 losses.
It was crazy. Looking at the rankings yesterday of the American League Central, and I forget who was number two.
Cleveland.
But number two was like... game and a half out. Number three was like maybe four games out. The next one was maybe six games out. And the Sox were 41 and a half games out.
There's a great picture of a Sox fan on the train going to the game, and he's wearing a jersey, and the look on his face could be a poster for the season.
Yeah.
He's all by himself. He's got no phone in his hand. He's just sitting there. He's going to the game. This isn't coming from the game and another loss. He's going there, and he looks like someone just hit his dog.
Yep.
I mean, he looks so sad. Understandable. So we'll be on after the Sox, and hopefully you guys will be there too.
But again,
after the Sox.
I would love to talk to Len and DJ sometime.
Yeah.
They
make it worth
listening. Applause to them. You don't know what it's like to be broadcasting when you have this kind of a horrendous season, and you have to entertain your audience, you have to keep people listening, and you have to say things other than, boy, does this team suck this year?
Yes.
You have to come up with ways to talk around that, other things to make it interesting.
Yeah. Well, it was like during COVID, I became a Sox fan because during COVID,
sure,
we were listening to Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, and they were bringing
wonderful
so much to the game that I found myself pulled in because yep. Jason was such a trivia buff and had this wide
and Jason
comfort
and Stone
zone.
Had a chemistry that
yeah.
was wonderful.
So they couldn't.
Sadly, it is no more.
They couldn't talk about what was going on in the stands, so they pulled you in with stories and information, and next thing you know, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Something about 155 games in a row will do that to you.
Yeah. By the way, you said you used a phrase that I want to come back to. You said when COVID was going on. COVID is
yeah.
is resurrecting its ugly head.
Yep.
And my pea-sized brain says if you were wearing a mask and you have stopped wearing a mask, put the mask back on.
Or at least consider doing that. Because
especially if you're going to be hanging out at Lollapalooza, and this isn't a political statement. It's a medical statement.
Julian, do you know anyone that's had COVID recently?
Not recently. My parents had it back in 21.
Well, in the past month,
yep.
I know five people. Five. Mm. And it's stunning to me because...
We've told the story how when COVID first broke out, two next-door neighbors died from COVID.
Well, there were two of the first people in
yep.
Chicago.
In fact, they wound up being on the front page of the Tribune.
Yeah, because of family members.
But again, this is not political. We know people who, within the past month, have come down with COVID. It ain't over, kids.
And ironically, the one that most recently was on Thursday, I got a call from a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how lousy she felt. And I said, have you tested? And she said, no. And I said, well, you need to test. And she said, well, I think it's allergies or what. But she had a fever. And she tested and she texted me back. And she said, yeah, I've got it. And here it is Saturday and she still has a fever. And that was on Thursday. And feels really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, Lollapalooza is a good way to spread that if you're not careful.
Well, sing it.
Yeah, but you know what? If you were to show up there wearing a mask, you would probably be... what? I can't imagine people would...
If I were to go there, I would be wearing a mask. And anybody who didn't like it, that's their problem, not mine.
I related the story last week of going to see Emerson, Lake, and Palmer with a guy that pulled a gas mask out of his backpack.
Yeah, that's a whole different discussion.
I know. That's what I was thinking, is that don't go that route. Just a good old... Well, anyway, it is here. And you'll be surprised at how many people you know or maybe you will end up with it this time around. This strain is called FLIRT, which is the goofiest name for a medical condition, FLIRT.
I want to laugh, but this is a serious matter.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, well, the name is laughable.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would... Okay, we'll get back to this later. We're going to shut up. We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.
Georgia, leave it all. I'd rather live in his word than live without him in mind.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio on Gladys Knight, who is in town this weekend. Every time I hear that, I think it was the Flip Wilson show.
Uh-huh.
One of the funniest bits involving that group without Gladys.
Yeah.
It was just the Pips. And they did that song, but they did the I Know You Will.
Oh.
And all they did their parts with nobody singing the lead, and it was hilarious. Somebody can correct me.
I thought you were going to say you were reminded of when we saw her.
Oh, yeah.
Close up and personal at Disney.
At Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we were down there for, was it the Dick Tracy premiere?
The premiere of the Dick Tracy movie, which wasn't completed yet. So we got to see a bunch of the scenes that had just kind of been sketched in. And Madonna was there. Warren Beatty was there. Dustin Hoffman was there, all the stars of the movie. And boy, that was back in the days when this was the official Disney radio station.
Literally, if you stayed in the hotel on the premises at Disney World, you would turn on the TV, and on one of the information channels, this radio station was coming in there. In fact, at the Disney radio station was designed by Jim Carillo, mm-hmm. who was the chief engineer of WGN.
And when we broadcast from that radio studio, it was wonderful because it was like we were sitting in our studio on the Tribune Tower.
Yeah.
It was exactly like it, except it was ground level and we could see out into the park. And because we were doing our night show, I asked them if they would cover the windows because I did not want to see the magic that happened at night.
Well, Julian, you would have loved this. It was, even though they had covered some of the windows, it was about 3 in the morning.
This was when we were there for Aladdin.
Oh, for Aladdin, you're
yes.
right. Because we were there several times. And for Aladdin, at 3 in the morning, walking down the street next to the windows, come some people walking elephants.
Yep.
At 3 in the morning. It was wonderful.
And there were also some people walking with big heads in their hands, and I did not want to see
those
heads.
Yeah, I didn't want to see that much of the...
I'm like, don't show me Mickey without his head.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him. Seriously. And they were very accommodating. They loved the fact that I did not want to see the magic being made at night. I didn't want to see them sweeping and mopping the grounds. I liked being there when everything was sparkling and great and perfect, and didn't want to see it.
And we still have framed in our kitchen two pictures. One of the people we interviewed was one of the artists for Roger Rabbit, who framed Roger Rabbit. And after we had interviewed him for about an hour or so, and we were going to move on to something else, he said, do you mind if I come back in a little while? I said, no, okay, fine. And he came back a few minutes later, and he had hand-drawn some pictures of Roger Rabbit for each of us.
For each of us, which I thought was huge because I wanted my own picture. So Roger Rabbit says my name, and Roger Rabbit says your name, and it's on Disney paper. And, boy, we were so funny because I think we walked across the park holding it flat till we could get to our suitcase. And didn't we get it boarded so we could carry it on the plane and not put it in the suitcase? We wanted to carry it. And it's a treasure. 11 by 14, it's not a little thing, and it's actually Roger Rabbit, and he was actually one of the animators on that movie, which I loved anyway. And he was a great interview, too, as I recall.
Yeah.
I remember the big deal at Disney, though, when you broadcast from there, was they did not want you to say that you were in Orlando. Remember, the Disney police would come say to you, don't talk about being Orlando. It's like...
It was Disney World.
We're Disney World, yes.
Yeah.
People know we're in Florida. Like, you got to fly into Orlando. And they were very, very sensitive about that.
And do you remember one of the people who was handling PR for Disney World was Pat, who was one of the people who brought us together at WIND. She was working in promotions at that radio station, and she was one of the people who scheduled us on promotions together.
Mm-hmm.
And those promotions eventually worked out.
Yes. Which means, since Pat was there many years after we got together and got married and such, it's a small world after all.
Don't do that.
It's a small world.
Don't do that.
Okay, a real quick Bob Collins story. Because some of you have been around long enough, you know Bob Collins, the legend.
And if you don't, you should look him up. Look up Bob Collins WGN.
The legend that was Bob Collins, our morning man. He was afternoons, evenings, but then became our morning man. And I had the good fortune of working with him, doing traffic, more than traffic. Oh, so much more.
Back in the early days of him and her on WGN, I would do... From about roughly 2 in the morning till 5:30, I would do the first couple hours of the show by myself. Then you would join me for hour and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would hang around to do traffic with Bob Collins.
Till 10.
Right.
And we got to know Bob's likes and dislikes, and one of the things he despised, hated, would get red in the face and the veins would bulge in his neck was Small World.
Yep.
But when we were at Disney as a group from the radio station, as the morning show, we all talked him into going on the ride with us. Oh, to quote Bob, hell, if it'll get you all to shut up, I'll go on the ride.
Yep.
We got on the Small World ride.
True story.
We got into the middle of the canal. The ride broke, but the song didn't break.
So we're sitting there waiting for them to repair this for about 45 minutes to an hour, hearing on constant repetition, it's a small world after all, it's a small world.
But there was a point about 15 minutes into the mission where we had to hold Bob. He wanted to climb out of the boat and walk in the water to get out of the ride. And we're going, you can't do that. His wife was holding him back. We were begging him, don't get out of the boat. We didn't know what would happen if he got out of the boat.
But then there is, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story.
Yes. So a couple of days later, we're at this great Italian restaurant.
Wonderful restaurant.
In Epcot. We had reservations. We got a big old table. And we were showing up. Everybody was already there at the table. We are showing up. And I see that they have strolling musicians.
So we're sitting at a table.
Right in the middle of the restaurant.
Right in the middle of the restaurant, yeah.
And so I, before we went to the table, because we could see everybody sitting there, I walked up to the musicians, and I pointed to Bob, whose back was to me, and I said, him, Small World, these guys spoke Italian, and I'm in stilted English, I'm saying, him, that man there, the guy in the blue shirt, Small World. And then I start showing them, I'm miming, he will start crying. He loves the song, I'm patting my heart, he loves the song so much. Oh, here's $10, $10, $10, if you'll play this when we go sit down. So they come to our table.
So we go over, we sit down, we're talking with Bob, and all of a sudden the musicians walk over
and they surround
Bob.
And I'm smiling because I've told them he's going to cry. He loves it so much. They gave it 110%. I mean, Small World was never done that well and that long. It went on for a very long time. And he said things that I cannot say on the radio when they walked away. He tried to pay them to stop playing, and they wouldn't even take his money because they thought he was so emotional.
Because they knew he was so emotional about it.
Yes, and they just wanted to make this a great experience. So that was the best gotcha. The best gotcha.
Oh my gosh. The lights are flickering, and what am I hearing in the background? It's Big Plug Bob and his Zamboni.
The keeper of Big Plug.
And that means that's, we're getting Big dangerously close to our... Well, he's the keeper of the Big Plug.
Yeah, but it sounds different when he's just Big Plug Bob.
Get your mind out of the Zamboni. If you want to give us a call, 312-981-7200. If you would like to be our last caller, that number again is 312-981-7200.
Yes, yes, yes. You don't have to have any pithy comments.
But if you want to have.
I said pithy with a TH.
Yes.
Anything other than you can sit up and hold the phone and
make a fist
and be friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, just recap your night and what's happening in your world and what you got planned for Sunday and like that. And you could win prizes, some very cool prizes, as long as you have not won in the past 2 months, the past 60 days. And, you'll get prizes from us and you will be the last caller and we'll get out of here and go home and eat.
Oh, this is the first time that we have articulated the hunger that
we
has
talked
been...
about off the air.
Yes.
In fact, our guest was feeling so sorry for us, he was even going to go buy food.
Yeah.
I said, I can't believe we don't have any food in here. But we're having BLTs when we get home.
Oh, that works for me.
The bacon is done. We got fresh tomatoes from our neighbor's garden.
Yep.
Yum, yum, yum.
Okay.
Let's make this quick, okay, folks? 312-981-7200.
So quick last call. Okay.
Be our last caller.
Now.
And we'll come back after this.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
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 Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So, let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope, 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 nope.
Okay, real quick, a couple of listeners want to know, what did Bob do to get back at me? Nothing compared to what I did to him. Nothing. Everything paled. I never walked on an airplane wing. No, I never rode a donkey. All those things he thought he could do to punish me, no. I didn't do them.
Next week, we need to tell the accordion story. At the Bears game.
Oh.
The accordion.
I thought you were thinking about the mimes that we harassed him with.
No.
That was another good one.
So another Bob Collins gotcha will next week. And also next week, we will play. Because people have been calling and answering the question. It wasn't Flip Wilson. It was Richard Pryor's show.
And thanks to Bob. Big plug Bob.
Big plug Bob and his Zamboni.
I'm sorry. I am a professional.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Hey, I've got 4.5 hours in me. It's the last half hour the wheels fall off, okay?
Are we going to save that till next week to play the pips?
We could do that now.
Do we want to? But we got to get to the last caller.
Yeah, we got to get to the last caller. Yeah, this is the cherry on top of the 5 hours. Okay. This is the icing on the cupcake.
Okay, let's go to the last caller, and then we'll see if we don't have enough time. This will be the tease.
Yes.
If we don't have enough time, this will be a reason for people to come back next week when we start at 9:30
after the White Sox. You'll want to come back.
Yes.
A little palate cleanser.
Yes.
Oh, palate cleanser. Good. And by the way, I don't think we finished our thought about John Provost from Lassie. He will be our guest next week.
Yes, as will Tom Appel.
Yes.
So talking cars and dogs.
And other surprises.
And who knows what else. Okay, so we go to the last caller. And let's see, Julian, you want to pick this week's last caller?
We got a bank of calls.
Turn. Okay.
Yeah. Take a number.
All right, I'm going to pick... I'm going to go number 5, and that's going to be Scott in Streamwood.
All right.
Hi, Scott in Streamwood.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Steve and Johnny. How are you this night? It's kind of muggy out in the northwest suburbs.
Yeah?
Yeah, really.
It's not a good hair night. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's bad. No, even for an older guy like me, I'm 64, so yeah, it's not a good
hair. You're a kid. Why are you up at this hour in the morning?
I am I'm a writer. I write plays. And
really?
I write. I've been doing it for many years. But anyway, long story short, you guys are fantastic. I was out for dinner and came home, and then I took my dog for a walk around noon or midnight, and then some thoughts came into me, and I have a deadline for Monday at noon, so I'm done. I'm done with it, and that's why I get my best thoughts late at night, I guess.
Wow.
As you get older.
So
I can relate to that. Have you written anything we would know?
Oh, I'm not a famous writer, no, but I write for Ice Cream Radio myself, also in the Chicago suburbs. I was on a station. Were you friends remember Joe Gentile?
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
What was it?
WJJG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did mornings over there for 12 years.
Really?
That was actually a fairly cool radio station.
Yeah.
He did love Frank Sinatra.
Yes, it's funny. We were the Sinatra station. And, I wrote all the commercials for Joe through the years, and he was a good man. He had the dealership, and he has the which a lot of people don't remember now because this was 2 years ago. He donated money, bought the made the Joe Gentile Center. We're loyal place.
Oh, that's
yes.
right. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe donated. I forgot, like $12 million. He built it actually. So
yeah.
I learned a lot, and I've been a writer for all these years. I write plays for different theater companies all over the country. They're small.
Well, that's
small,
wonderful.
You know, oh, yeah, small theaters.
Yeah,
you guys are so energetic at this time of night. And I'm a dog person, so I'm semi-retired, and I get I guess being left brain us writers. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Julian about it for a split minute. You get thoughts at different times during the night.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as you get older, been doing this for 20 some years. I can't sit down at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. And
sure.
When I'm,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. You get different ideas later at night. And
oh, okay. Now, I'm curious. Do you do the same thing I do? Because sometimes I will be so tired, and I will finally just start getting to sleep, and I'll get an idea, and I have to get up and put
up.
That idea down.
Yeah, it's true. I think most writers, and I've been doing this a long time. Most writers, like I said, I write for theater companies all over the country, but it's small plays that are small venues. And, most of, I only get paid if they like the script. So, it's like being a car salesman, but I've done okay. And, you send them a script, and if they don't like it, there'll be five, say, one more than that. On each play, there'll be maybe 5-10 people that are writing this for, different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And, do I hit a home run all the time? Not at all. But, it's being left brain and getting thoughts out at 2 o'clock in the morning while I walk my dog. So I'll jot down notes. And my plays are usually, shorter, 45 to 90 minutes. And I used to do dinner theater in the Chicagoland area with the help of WJJG.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the plays, and then I was in it too with a small cast. So
that's
it was fun.
That's a heck of a gig. I love it.
So at this hour of the morning, you're hanging out with us and the dogs.
And the dogs, yeah.
Absolutely. I've had you guys on since... I've had you guys on since like midnight.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
And if you will hold on, and Julian will get all of your personal information.
Including, he'll give you information on the WGN Radio logo T-shirt you will receive, and you'll get your very own desktop weather station from American Weathermakers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Scott, that's a collectible item. You're going to be the talk of the neighborhood. So you may already be the talk,
yes.
But this is going to be the good stuff. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you all for tuning in tonight. Thanks to Julian, and to Gabe, and to Ron, and to Big Plug Mom.
And his Zamboni.
And his Zamboni. And thank you all for... Stop it. You got a mean laugh.
I don't have a mean laugh.
Yes.
But I think we better leave now.
Okay.